you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. So you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm looking at a beautiful lady passing by me. And she just said, bite me. Must be the holidays. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Brian. I hope you can hear me. This is an experimental phone that I'm working on. It's like an old phone, and hopefully I'm broadcasting because the other one's acting a fool. We are global. We're worldwide. And don't forget, our music show is coming up. I'm working on it. You're going to love it. It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. All right, name of the show, title of the show. Take one guess who that is. And Santa, George Santos. It must be Christmas time for the Republicans. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. The jolly fat man, Donald Trump, and his corrupt little gay elf, George Santos. Let's hammer this out. That's the title of the show. That's what we're going to do today. I won't have my wingman with me because she's asleep. Pat, sleep well in dreamland. So I'm flying alone today, running with scissors. I want to give a shout-out to the lovely Laverne. I know she's probably posing for Ebony Magazine 2024 Queen of the Century. Hello, Laverne. I want to give a shout-out to that beautiful Maine baker. She's probably baking around, baking her Christmas cookies and her Christmas food, getting the list together, getting ready to go shopping. Melissa. Melissa from Maine. Good morning, Melissa. And my little gay elf, Mr. Solution. I'm sure he's reading about the weather and the North Pole to see if Santa has a safe path to travel to deliver children's toys. Good morning, my little gay elf, Mr. Solution. Good morning. You know, we open up with a sad thing, you know. Biden, that's President Biden to you. He made a bold promise when he got into office, a really bold promise, man. Biden said that he was going to cure cancer. First president ever said that. And I know that we have a lot of steps towards it and technology and people are living longer. You know, I give to St. Jude's. I mean, they are amazing, man. God bless them. God bless them. Life saving. These are St. Jude. Danny Thomas was an actor. His daughter, Marlo Thomas, took the reins. And people who have children who have cancer, they take them to St. Jude's. And they don't charge them. They don't charge them at all. They're not going to receive a bill. And they get cancer treatment. And the ad will run and run about kids. And you see the kids, you know, cute little bald-headed kids. I like bald-headed kids. There they go. So lately, they turned their, it was kind of heartwarming, but kind of heartbreaking, Because in the beginning of the ad, it says one out of three of these kids will make it. And you go, oh. Oh. So lately they turned the ad around, which I like, where it shows, and it's really cool, especially for the holidays. It shows these kids, it will show an Olympic swimmer, or it will show an Olympic track star, or it will show an accountant, or show an entertainment producer as a grown person. And they will come on and say, I am a St. Jude's kid. They made it. You know, they made it. That was a good thing. They made it. You know, show them all grown up and professional. They made it. Mm. So that kind of makes you feel hope. So then I look for stories to do, you know, on here so I have something to talk about, because you don't need to hear me ramble on. Nobody cares about me rambling on. So I'm trying to find it. So there's an actor. This is an actor who just passed. I want to read his name. His name. And you might know him. He's a British actor. I can't find him. But basically, I read the story. He had prostate cancer, and he just died. He was diagnosed in 2018. And you know, what's really weird about that? Is that a lot of men you're not aware of, but a lot of men who are in that age range, let's say 68, doctors will have a decision to treat you or not because they're thinking that prostate cancer is just a small growth. That chances are you're going to die of something else before you die of prostate cancer. That's how they look at it. I'm not going to say prostate cancer is not dangerous. It is, but it's kind of the little guy among cancers. And you just, I can't, well, I'm giving you this story, so, you know, and he's a British actor. And you just think, man, you know, man. I wonder if it's here, because I'd like to give his name some kind of meaning if I bookmarked him. But you think it's a slow cancer, like I said. I did not even bookmark that guy. Normally I do. And you think, like I said, it depends on your age. I mean, if you're 70, if your grandpa goes in there and he has some problems. And this goes with the senior thing. Remember, back in the day, they didn't even say what it was. They just said natural causes. And as you get older, you want to know what the natural causes is? What, a tree fell on him? What the fuck is a natural cause? And as we got into this technology, it's a more medical thing, and I guess, you know, Big Pharma wants to sell their pills and everything. It's a big business, so they want to let you know what people are dying of. So it is a shock. It's a shock that this man, this actor, he's a British actor, damn it. Okay, now I have to Google him. Damn it. British actor died of this prostate cancer. In 5 years. These are the list of some of the actors that did die. And some of you may know about this. May have heard who they were. I know I'm starting this show with a downer, but it's life. I mean, it just caught my eye that it was so fast, because doctors will tell you it's a very slow thing. Some of the list of the famous actors who died from prostate cancer, and you don't think people will die of prostate? I mean, I'm telling you, it's such a slow growth that you won't hear. If you hear, they're usually like in their 90s or whatever, I go, okay, all right. But here's a list of some famous actors who died from prostate cancer. Maybe you heard of them. William Demarest, I heard of him. That's the guy on My Three Sons. But he died of prostate cancer, but he died at 91. 91. Frederick March. He died at 77, prostate cancer. Bill Bixby. I remember Bill Bixby, Courtship of Eddie's Father, great actor. He died at 59, prostate cancer. Telly Savalas, bald-headed Kojak. He died at 70. Bud Abbott with Abbott and Costello, he died at 76. There's a theme here. There's a theme. There's a theme here. Why am I doing it? Because, you know, when we get into the election year and we cast our vote for that person to lead the way, and you get in this minutia and this bullshit and this all this other shit, and it's clouding that one goes to the other. When Biden, good old Joe. In fact, I'm going to have a couple Joe in a minute. He came out with a ballsy move, man. It's a ballsy move. I mean, it was a courageous move. It was a risky move, but a ballsy one. He said he wants to get rid of cancer. And I noticed that, and he put a lot of funding in it. And you remember Elizabeth Taylor? I mean, she went for 5 years trying to raise money for cancer. And we did a show about 4 years ago saying, where's that money? I mean, she must have raised billions and billions of dollars. And you're saying, where is that money going to? Because nobody's getting cured. And so when Biden came out with this, and that's enough to vote for the son of a bitch. He came out and he said he wants to cure cancer. You have an advocate in the White House and he's the president? That's enough for me. Trump came out and said he wants to put newspaper people in jail because they don't like him. Okay, let's wait this out. Who to vote for? Who to vote for? We don't want to think about that. I'm going to give you a list of famous people who died of prostate cancer. Bobby Riggs, Bill Bixby, Pierre Trudeau, Linus Pauling. There's an African guy. I don't know his name. Frank Zappa. Francisco Montalban. Eli Whitney. Mobutu Sese Seko. Gary Cooper. William Shockley. Langston Hughes. Johnny Ramone. Johnny Ramone with the Ramones. James Herriot. Frederick March. Leon Spinks. I didn't know Leon Spinks is dead. I did not know that. Leon Spinks died of prostate cancer. Ron Aldrich. Or Ronnie Aldrich or whatever. Alex Johnson. I can go on and on and on. On and on. And on. You're saying, well, there's no women with, well, women don't have prostate, so you're not going to hear women. Carol Reitner, American columnist and astrologer to the stars, dies of prostate cancer at 88. See, you know, back in the day, when you're like 70 or over 70 or 88 and all that kind of bullshit, do you know what they used to call it? Natural causes. Natural causes. The youngest was Bill Bixby, 55, prostate cancer. I can go on and on and on, and I'm not going to do the whole show with this, but, oh, my God, all these people. It must be, he's a Nazi? Okay, this guy died. Paul Tregear, he's a French-Nazi collaborator. Who cares? I'm just going to Google how many people died in the year 2000, but that's still 2000 what, 2022? 2022, last year. How many people died in the year 2022 of prostate cancer? I want to know. Cancer stats. Here we go. Here we go. Aside from non-melanoma skin cancer, prostate cancer is the most common cancer among men in the United States. It is also one of the leading causes of cancer death among men of all... I did not know that. It's the leading causes of cancer death? I did not know that. Among men of all races and Hispanic origins. The cancer rate in the U.S. Also see the top 10 cancers. Top 10 cancers. Wait a minute. See what happens when we look further? Also see the top 10 cancers. I got to Google that. What's the stats on it? What's the stats on it? I'm curious. They're not giving me numbers. They're not giving me numbers. Stat bites. Still not giving me numbers. Lung cancer. Among people diagnosed with lung cancer from 2015 to 2019, 425,015 were still alive on January 2020. That's good news. Colon cancer, from 2015 to 2019, 473,264 people were still alive. And the breast cyst cancer, among females diagnosed with breast cyst cancer, from 2015 to 2019, 1,097,918 were still alive on January 2020. But I want to know, they're not giving me the answer. I want to know how many, well, you could probably Google that yourself. New release of cancer stats. In 2020, the latest year for which in the United States, 1,603,844 new cases of cancer were reported. And only 602,347 people died of cancer for every 100,000 people. So what is that? Every 100, that's kind of a high rate. 602,000 out of 100,000? That sounds like it's like 65%. I'm not quite sure. I'm not good with the numbers. 403 new cancer cases reported and 144 people died of cancer. Okay, that's one out of four. Cancer is the second leading cause of death in the United States, exceeded only by heart disease. One of every five deaths in the United States is due to cancer. One of every five deaths in the United States is due to cancer. One out of every five deaths. Wow. That's some serious shit. That's some serious shit. That is some serious shit, man. And the leading cancers right now with leading prostate. Prostate's number two, but the number one is female breast cancer. It's number one. Prostate is number two. Lung and bronchitis is number three. Colon is number four. Corpus of the uterus, number five. Melanoma is number six. Urinary bladder is number seven. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, I guess skin cancer, is number eight. Kidney and renal pelvis is number nine. And pancreas is number 10. Those are your top 10. Those are your top 10. I say this again because I was kind of shocked. I was kind of shocked when I saw that actor today. God bless him. And he died of cancer. I go, okay. And when he died so quickly, because prostate cancer, every doctor will tell you, prostate cancer is a slow growth. And he was diagnosed only 5 years ago. He was 68 years old. And normally, that's young. If anything, that this little thing I did today will give you an awareness of you've got to get checked. Get your physical in. Especially if you're over the age of 60. Nah, forget 60. Fuck 60. 50. 50. 50. As soon as they say happy birthday to you, you reach 50 and they blow the horn, boop, go right. Make that appointment, man. Make that appointment. Damn. And that's why when Joe Biden said, as soon as he was in office, we're going to cure cancer. And I think I have that soundbite of him. Some of you guys don't believe me. Oh, Brian. I hear it all the time. Oh, Brian. All the time. Oh, Brian. Joe Biden. Let's say cure cancer. Let's see if we get that sound bite. Let's see if there is. Biden falsely claims we ended cancer in our latest bizarre gaffe. What? All right. Leave him alone. But I have to play it. Because of you Republicans out there, leave my Biden alone.
Show your daughter how much you love her with this beautiful gift.
Yeah, divorce her mom.
It says.
Shut up.
To my
folks, you know, I don't know what the difference between breaking your arm and having a mental breakdown is. It's health. There's no distinction. It's health. Vivek Murthy, who's our Surgeon General, and I talk about this issue a lot. You know, in the last two State of the Union addresses, I've laid out what I call the unity agenda. It's made up of four big things that we can do together as a nation. One thing I'm always asked is, you know, why America has sort of lost faith for a while and be able to do big things.
Uh-huh.
If you do anything at all, Joe, what would you do?
Yes.
I said I'd cure cancer. They looked at me like, why cancer? Because no one thinks we can. That's why, and we can. We end the cancer as we know it.
That's it. I don't know why they say, this is bullshit. He didn't falsely claim nothing. That was the title. Biden falsely claims we ended cancer. No, he didn't. He didn't say that. He said, if I had a choice, what would you do? I would cure cancer. They hit. But that's what he said. He was the only president that...
And folks, you know, I don't know what the difference between...
Let me see. He did not say in a... Okay, here it is. Here's another thing right here. Here's another thing.
Vice President Biden said something yesterday in Iowa that really caught our ear.
Yes.
About the fight against cancer. Let me play this for everyone.
I promise you, if I'm elected president, you're going to see the single most important thing that changes America is we're going to cure cancer.
Now, Congressman, I know how personal this is to Joe Biden. We know how much energy and time that he has put into fighting cancer with the Biden Cancer Initiative. But with that phrase, we're going to cure cancer, how can he promise that, though?
We're America. When we made the commitment to go to the moon, people didn't think we could do it. And that's part of what's inspiring about Vice President Biden is the fact that he knows, as America, we can accomplish some very big things. And I'll tell you, in this race, he is absolutely the expert on cancer, where we are in our progress on the fight, where we are in our progress for finding a cure. And I think you're going to see him lay out a policy on
how he could make good on that campaign. Well, I mean, there is no one that would not support his if he can make good on that campaign promise. But that is one thing. Curing cancer is something that has been out of reach for scientists, for the medical community. They're making progress. But curing cancer, that is a very, very bold campaign promise to be making. Not that just he's going to fight it tooth and nail with everything he's got to make progress in the fight, but that he's going to cure cancer. Are you sure you want to hang your campaign on that promise?
Well, look, if you can't imagine America how you want it. And look, we have to remember that he is a subject matter expert in that area. He knows the progress we've made. So if he believes that we can do it, I believe him. And look, let's give it 120%. If we come up a little bit short, that means we've made great breakthroughs. So I don't think as Americans we think or dream small. We should continue to dream big, and that's what he's doing. And I think that you'll see his entire healthcare platform and others concentrate on what we should be doing, what we can do. But remember, as Americans, we do some really, really great things, and I think curing cancer is one of those things that we have to strive to do.
And it would be great to see progress and to see that one campaign promise, no matter what side of the aisle you sit on, one make good on that one campaign promise, that's for sure. It just is a really high bar. Congressman, thank you, though, for coming in. I really appreciate the time.
Thanks.
Wow. Wow. It is a high bar. But I like to have a couple of drinks at that bar. It's not so much could he do it, it's that it's on his mind and he will try it. If you don't try, you don't succeed. Shut up, woman. It was a very high bar that you become an anchor woman if you didn't have those lips. I know those knees are sore. Get off my TV. Get out of here. You go, Joe. Don't listen to them, Joe. And let's hear the other guy. Now, Biden wants to cure cancer. Trump has a Thanksgiving message for people. Let's hear what he has to say.
Donald Trump is using Thanksgiving as an excuse to attack his legal adversary.
Uh-oh. Come on, Donnie, baby. It's Thanksgiving.
CNN's Elena Trine is joining us. She's got details of the former president's social media post that popped up right in the middle of the night. So who is he going after now, Elena?
Yeah, well, Wolf, Donald Trump at 2 a.m. issued this Truth Social post this morning. He essentially said, Happy Thanksgiving to all, including his quote-unquote enemies, who then he proceeded to attack. And one of those is the judge in his New York civil fraud trial, as well as the clerk in that case. And really, Donald Trump is taking advantage of a gag order in that case that was temporarily lifted last week. The judge, his name is Arthur Engoron, issued a...
Happy Thanksgiving. But that's what the other guy is doing. He's wishing Thanksgiving to his enemies, and he will take them down and shoot them. Let's see. Do we vote for the guy who wants to cure cancer or the guy who is a cancer? That's a decision we have to do. A guy, Joe, who wants to cure cancer, or Donnie Baby, who is a cancer. Maybe that's why Donald Trump doesn't like Joe, because Joe's coming after him because Donald Trump is a cancer. I have a lot of 111s in the studio. You know the deal. But some of the old people are coming back wishing me a happy holiday. So if you want to talk to me, hit the number one on your phone. It'll raise a little hand in the studio, and I will open your microphone. There you go. That's what I would do. Well, I started the show with a downer, I know. But, hey, I have to give knowledge. And I guarantee you, if you don't have it, you know of somebody who does in your lifetime. I guarantee you. Cancer's a bitch. And it's an unforgiving bitch. It's a bitch with a mighty powerful period. Atomic period, bitch. I went out with a couple of those. There's no stopping them. It's like a Halley's Comet. It's an atomic period, bitch. No mercy. No mercy at all. That's our show. If you'd like to come into our show today, and who would? Why would you? You'd be out of your frickin' mind. The number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. You get to talk to me. Yes, I am a radio guy, and you get to talk to me, and you get to call me by my first name. You can say, hi, Brian, because like, then we're friends. And I'll say, hi, you, like we're friends and we're buddies. 319-527-6099. That's the number to call in. And if you do call in, don't forget to hit the little one on your dial. It'll raise your little hand, and I will open up your phone. I think we have what we call the morning group, or my favorite people. They're all on holidays right now. I want to wish Laverne, and she'll shout out with Laverne. She's with her family. Have a happy holiday, Laverne. Melissa, she's probably with her family. Have a happy holidays, Melissa. Patricia, she's probably asleep, but she's probably fighting an entity right now. She's a working woman. She's a psychic. And I'll tell you what. Since Patricia's not here, I will read your tarot card reading. I can do that. I learned to do that. So if you're into, I can tell you what's going to happen to you on your holidays. So if you'd like to come in and have me read your tarot cards, I can do that. And don't forget, we have a new Christmas show coming up, the 12 Days of Christmas. And what that means is that we're going to do giveaways on the 12th day of Christmas. When is the 12th day of Christmas? I'll figure it out. I will figure it out. And those 12 days is we're going to introduce 12 independent music artists and give them a download. How's that if they make the list? You independent music fucker, musicians. I'm reaching for my spiritual self. I am summoning my entity, Patricia. Hold on, let me do it. Patricia, Pat Overleen. Are you in the universe anywhere? I am channeling my Patricia entity. Pat Overline or Overleen, are you around? Hello? I think I got her answering machine. Hold on. Hello? I'm feeling a spiritual power. Hello, Pat Overleen. Hello?
Hello? You finally unmuted
God,
me, eh?
Hello, eh? It's working.
Hey.
I can do what I'm a mystical, magical person. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning. So what is the topic today?
Well, you know how we are. I do a topic, and then there's going to be other topics. Like today, you lucky sons of bitches, once in a while I'll make a phony phone call, and I'm going to do it. So a lot of things I don't put in the title that we're going to do, and we're going to have some fun today. The topic is Orange Jesus, Santa George Santos. It must be Christmas time for the Republicans. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. The jolly fat man, Donald Trump, and his corrupt little gay elf, George Santos. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but not all. But, Pat, what do you want for Christmas?
Usually a tarot deck.
Didn't you have one last year? Didn't Santa get you a tarot deck last year?
I get myself tarot decks. I just bought one for Christmas for myself.
Oh, my God. So what are you giving John for Christmas?
Well, we don't exchange very much, so.
Well, you tell John I'm going to help him out. I'm going to give you some crotchless psychic panties. There you go. So while you read your tarot cards, he can go there and going, it's from me and John to you. There you go. Nice lacy ones.
Well, I wouldn't have any use for them, but.
Oh, my. Yeah, you can. You can pee without pulling down your panties. When we get older, we
That's
have
what
new
you
use
think.
For them. Oh my God. Well, we have a good show today. When we come back, we're going to make a call. Pat, I'm glad you're here. We're going to make a call to a dentist. And we're going to call it in honor of holidays. We're going to call a dentist in Virginia. You're going to be surprised why we're calling the dentist. I won't tell you why we're calling them, but let's just say it's going to be an unusual call.
Okay.
Yes, it is. You're listening to Brian Hammer Jackson, and you got the world-famous psychic Pat Oberlin. Is it Oberlin or Oberlin?
Oberlin.
What's Oberlin? Oh, tomato, tomata. Oberlin. Mm.
Yeah, but most people don't pronounce it that way. So.
What do they pronounce it as?
The way you do.
Oh, really? All right, Oberlin, eh? And we'll
yeah,
be right
Oberlin.
Back. You know, let's see if you can guess this Christmas song, okay? It's a Christmas song, Pat. I'm going to give you clues, okay? Let's see if you can guess it, okay?
Okay.
Okay? Three clues. Racist.
Oh, geez.
Give me a guess. Racist. Give me a guess.
Oh,
okay, another clue. I'll give you another clue. Black Christmas song.
A black Christmas song.
No. I'm giving you the clue. Okay, for you, not black, but... Come on. Come on, Pat.
Sorry. I just lost.
You can get it.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
We'll be right back.
Just like the ones I used to know, where the tree tops glisten.
Yeah.
And children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every Christmas card. May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Yay! All right, it's time for us to do. I wish I had some intro of phony phone call music. You know, I should keep letting that play until I get the intro. So I'm gonna. What's your favorite Christmas time song, Pat?
Well, that one was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Like it gets you in a Christmas mood.
Yeah, that particular song, yeah.
Oh.
You have to remember, I'm old.
Oh, you're not
That's
old.
That's old.
You're not old, you're just seasoned.
Seasoned with weed.
Yeah, right. With a little herb, and seasoning, and put you in a slow cooker. If you're not familiar with phony phone calls, some people aren't. Here's one. Here's one right now. I guess it's a guy. I'm your wife's gynecologist. That's what is labeled. Let's see what happens. Here we go. Let's see what this phony phone call is like.
Hello. Hello. I'm trying to get Andrea, please. Who's calling? This is Dr. Hendricks. Oh, yeah, yeah. God, how you doing, Doc?
How you doing?
I'm all right. She's not, Andrea, she's not in right now. You want to leave a message or something?
Leave her a message that, you know, she came in, she had an appointment this morning.
Right. Anything okay?
Oh, everything's good. You know, I've been Andrew's gynecologist for quite some time now, so.
Yeah, I know. Right.
Okay, well, listen, can see if she's able to get back in tomorrow. I need to get one more good look at her.
Everything okay?
I just want to check a few things. You know, if I get one more good look at her, I think I'll be fine.
What? Don't y'all do this like once or twice a year? And you want to come right back to, is everything okay, Doc? You can tell me now. Is everything all right?
My wife.
It's Greg, right?
Yeah,
it's Greg, Doc. What's up? Talk to me.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to get her back in here tomorrow morning. She can be in about 9. And I just, you know, I'm not privy to tell anyone what's going on with it. And there's nothing really serious going on, okay? So you can relax on that part. But I just want to get one more good look at her just to be sure.
One more good look for what, Doc? If nothing serious going on.
Well, I think
what?
Well, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. She'll be fine, Greg. Off the record, I'll tell you something, man, and I don't really, you know, talk like this, but off the record, man, you and I, man, we'd be, we're the only ones, aren't we?
What? The only ones what? What are you talking about? What are you saying?
Well, you know, we're the only one that's seen it, you know?
Whoa. What are you saying,
man? Just stating, off the record, you and I, that we're the only ones, you know?
We're the only ones what? What are you saying, though? I'm not understanding you. What are you saying? We are the only ones what?
well, we have, you and I have something in common. I mean, you and I are the only one that's, you know, basically seen Andrea.
What are
you?
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's make sure. What are you trying to say to me, Doc? We the only ones. We got something special, something in common. We the only ones. What are you trying to say to me, Doc?
I mean, just between you and I, Greg. I mean, come on. You and I are the only ones that have.
You and I, what? Ain't no you and I. You and I. Ain't no you and I. What are you saying, Doc?
We're the only ones that have seen Andrea, you know, in that way.
Wait a minute. That's not a topic of discussion, Doc. What are you trying to say? What are you saying about my wife?
I mean, she's amazing, man. I mean,
Whoa! How did you tell me about my wife being amazing, Doc? You lost your damn mind?
Well, I'm just saying she looks amazing.
She looks amazing?
I don't mean any harm by what I'm saying.
Whoa. You ain't looking at her in that type of fashion, Doc. What the hell is wrong with you? What type of unprofessional is this here? You tell me my wife is amazing. You lost your damn mind? I can't believe I'm getting a phone call like this. This is the most unprofessional I've ever heard.
But keep in mind, Greg, I wasn't really calling you. I was calling her, you know?
Well, you ain't talking to her. You talking to me. And you're going to bring that type of on the phone to me? Have you lost your mind?
You're going to be a professional, is there a way you can pass the message that I'm like coming tomorrow?
I ain't passing nothing. You're going to make me do something crazy to you. I believe you called me with that type talking about my wife. Me and you and I got something in common. She's amazing. Have you lost your damn mind?
Sir, I didn't think.
You did.
I was being a little playful with you. I didn't think that was going to.
No, this ain't no, because ain't no play. What's wrong with you? Man, we're playing. I'm not playing. Don't you ever. Matter of fact, Doc, I need to see you. I need to have a session with you. We can talk about this here. You lost your dog on man talking about my wife? Amazing to you? You're the most unprofessional. How did she even go to you all these years?
Alright, was there any way you can get her to come in so I can get one good look at her tomorrow?
Hell no, she ain't coming down to that little raggedy. Hell no, she ain't coming down. I'm coming down there. When I come down there, Matter of fact, I'm on my way down there. I don't know what you we can straighten this out.
I've left the office for today. I just wanted to call and see if I could get one good look at her for tomorrow.
No, there you go again.
see what that one more good child. Oh, look, no, no. Let me tell you one thing, Doc. She ain't coming at you no more. No more. No damn more. If she coming back to you.
Wait.
I don't want to lose a customer.
Oh,
geez. Not like that. No,
you ain't gonna lose a customer. I'm coming there tomorrow. Make me an appointment. You can check my out tomorrow.
Sir, that's not possible. Okay, I don't want to lose her.
You like it or not.
It's going to hurt me if I lose her as a client.
Oh,
I don't want to miss seeing
it's
her.
It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you if you lose her. It's going to hurt you when I get there. Don't you worry about her.
Okay, Greg, you got to calm down, okay?
I was being
playful, and I asked you, should I have done that?
You always be playful. I'll be seeing you in the morning. First thing in the morning.
Okay.
What time? What time?
Can I,
10 o'clock?
Can I ask you something, Greg? You have a brother named Tyron?
What they got to do with anything? What they got to do with my brother? What they got to do with me?
Okay, what I wanted to tell you is, this is not Dr. Hendrix. This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your brother Tyron got me the prank phone call with you.
I don't give a...
Hey, Greg, pull up, take this out. Your brother Tyron. Yeah, this is Nephew Tommy, man, from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your brother Tyron got me the prank phone call with you.
That's what I thought you said, man. Come on, man. Sit down for a minute, man. Oh, my goodness. Boy, you lost your damn.
I can't be as good as him. I mean, and that's why I don't usually play things. But I am a fan
that was too
of
much.
That. I am a fan. I like to see her get one more look. I like to do that. That's funny. That is funny. But see, I don't like to play those because I'll do it. I'll do a call. But I'm not as funny as those people, you know? I'm not as funny as those people. But I am going to call. We're going to call a dentist. I just set you guys up. We're going to call a dentist. See, normally I don't have help. If somebody calls the show and says, hey, Brian, I want to prank so-and-so, and I can get the information to make it real, like Steve Harvey did. He had that information about the doctor and her name and blah, blah, blah. So I don't have that information. So when I do it, it is just as raw as you can be. So it's kind of like impromptu, phony phone call. And so it's harder. That's easy because you got that information. You can do it. Somebody's in the line. So what we're going to do is when we call the dentist's office, it's going to be purely impromptu. And I'm calling the business. So I don't have any information. I don't even know the practice of the dentist office I'm calling, but it's going to be, I'm calling for a very special person, unusual, special problem to see how much it would cost me to get it done. That's all I can say. I cannot promise you that it's going to be funny or anything, but I just like to do that kind of stuff. You know, Laverne has special, it makes her smile. Sometimes we call it the classic stuff that we have, that we do on a show. We play some classic stuff. We do have classic stuff that makes us laugh. That's his name. Is it? So there's one person that made her smile, and I don't remember. I can't get his name. I think Melissa may know. I'm going to put it in here and see if I got him. First, I'm going to put him in here. Okay, yeah, I got him. All right, I get ready for this phony phone call. He passed about maybe 3 years
yeah.
ago or whatever. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to mute everybody. I got like six people in the studio, and I know there's people are talking to people. And I'm sending this to you, Laverne. You might be listening. You might be listening. This is for you, Laverne. It makes her smile. This is a classic from the Hammer Jackson Show, classic song for Laverne. Here we go. Here we go. There you go to you, Laverne.
name Bishop Bullwacker. From the first church, nothing but the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Deacon Brown, Deacon George, Deacon Clay, holding the door, let them in, down low. First, I want to thank God for the blood running warm in my veins. That's all right. Thank God for my life, health, and strength. I got a sound mind, not insane. Come on, come on. I ain't going to preach too long. I ain't going to take the service too far. My sermon's in the morning. Hell, no, no, no. Come on, come on. Come on. Hell, no.
Now, that's one song, but that's not the song. The song that he had that Laverne liked, I can't find it. He had a bicycle. Okay, let's try this one. Let's try this one. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Here you go, Laverne.
talk about. All you gotta do is let them talk much as it be. That's what they gonna do, y'all. Cause all you gotta do is get down on your knees.
Tell the Lord about it.
You tell God about it, and I guarantee you he will never leave you alone.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is tell the devil, hell no, won't you leave me alone?
Devil leave.
Hell no.
Come on,
wait. Hell no, no, no.
Come on,
hell no. Hell no, no, no.
Come on.
Hell no.
Hell no.
Hell no, no, no.
I love that guy. Oh, that's funny. That is funny. All right, we're going to make the phone call, and then we're going to do the show. Okay, the topic of the show is Orange Jesus and Santa George Santos. It must be Christmas time for the Republicans. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. The jolly fat man, Donald Trump, and his corrupt little gay elf, George Santos. Let's hammer this out. We're going to attempt to make a call. I cannot guarantee you it's going to be funny. I'm not trying to be funny. I don't know what I'm trying to be. It just makes me laugh. It just makes me laugh. It makes me laugh. We're going to have fun. And I hope I can do it. It's been a long time since I did it. The target area that I'm going to do is going to be Virginia. In fact, it's going to be Virginia Beach, Virginia. And we're going to call this guy, this dude. And I have a special problem. I basically want some information if they can do it and how much will it cost. That's it. That's it. Simple. And the reason we do this is because we're the only show that I know on Blog Talk that does these kind of things, live calls. That's, you know, I'm having a problem with the number. I need a little help here. Pat?
Yeah.
I can't get this number, so I'm going to repeat this number because I have to put it in the studio. I'm not going to give the whole number. I know that. Just remember 7155. Can you remember that, 7155?
I think so.
Okay. Because I have to switch. I have to switch to the studio. 7155, if you can remember that. 7155, that would help me. Let me see here. Let's see if I can make this call. Okay, damn, okay, hold on. Uh-oh, I lost it. Damn it, where did you, okay, there you go. Okay, remember, 7155, okay?
Okay.
Okay, let me see if I got this. Let me see. Oops. Okay. That's 7-5. Oops. Here we go. Okay. Okay. Remember that number. Okay. So, six. Okay. You remember the number, Pat? The last ones?
7155.
7155. Thank you, Pat. 7155. All right. Here we go. Again, when I do these calls, 7155? 7155. Okay. I'm going to mute everybody because now I got about six people in this studio, so I'm going to mute everybody so I don't get distracted. I'm not trying to be funny. Just a special person I'm calling about to see if they can do it. Okay, can I mute you? Hold on. I'm going to mute everybody. Hold on. All right, here we go. Let's see if it works.
Thank you for calling Advanced Sedation Dentistry, your solution to pain-free, worry-free, fear-free
yes.
dentistry. If you would like
yes.
to reach our Virginia Beach location, please press 1. Yes. If you would like to reach our Chesapeake location, please press 2. For our directory, please press 9.
I can't press. I hope you roll me over. Roll me over, lady. Roll me over.
Thank you for calling Advanced Sedation Dentistry, your solution to pain-free, worry-free, fear-free dentistry. If you would like to reach our Virginia Beach location, please press 1.
Okay, I can't press anything. I'm going to play you this song, and I'm going to get one I can press. Just stay with me for a minute, and I'm going to play you this. I'm going to get a number that I can actually call. I'm going to play something that I should be playing on Thanksgiving. This is a Wizard of Oz. It's a horror story. So I'm going to let you listen to this while I look at some more numbers to call. So I'll be right back, folks. Don't leave.
And now for our feature presentation.
And I'm going to listen to this nice little story.
Wizard of Oz.
Dead. 16-year-old Judy Garland. Her contract came with an immediate caveat, though. In order to play Dorothy Gale, Garland was required to lose at least 12 pounds. While she was successful in doing so, it didn't stop studio executives from allegedly referring to her as the fat little pig with pigtails behind her back. Filming on The Wizard of Oz shut down after only 2 weeks when Buddy Ebsen, the actor playing the Tin Man, fell sick from the aluminum powder that was used to dust his face. Decades later, while interviewing Ebsen, the Florida Sun Centennial recounted this terrifying experience, saying, "One night, Ebsen woke up in bed screaming from violent cramping in his hands, arms, and legs. When he had difficulty breathing, his wife called an ambulance and rushed him to the hospital. He remained in an oxygen tent for 2 weeks, recovering from the pure aluminum he had ingested into his lungs. Ebsen was subsequently fired and filming was put on pause in order to cast an adequate replacement for his role. The cast of The Wizard of Oz, specifically its main ensemble, soon encountered another nightmare. One that would continue to haunt them long after the film's release. The makeup and costumes that they were forced to wear, often for the entire 16-hour workday, weren't only uncomfortable, but deadly as well. As previously mentioned, Buddy Ebsen, the original actor playing the Tin Man, was essentially poisoned by the aluminum powder that was smeared on his face, and his replacement, Jack Haley, fared no better. With him, the costume department used a thick aluminum paste to prevent the actor from accidentally ingesting the deadly compound. However, he still ended up with a serious eye infection, although this was later treated. But Ebsen and Haley weren't the only actors to suffer because of their costumes and makeup. According to Judy Garland's biography, quote, "At age 17, Garland was a fleshy teenager heading into early womanhood. To ensure Dorothy's wholesome, young appearance wouldn't be questioned by the audience, the studio resorted to strapping Garland's breasts down and utilizing corsets to evoke a slim silhouette, on top of a steady diet of drugs and very little food. Because Garland was short, 4 feet 11 inches to be exact, she was unable to camouflage any extra weight. To add to that, she was often put into tight and body-hugging costumes, even though the majority of her roles called for her to sing and dance. This led to studio executives obsessing over her weight. Starting from the time she appeared in her first feature film in 1936 at just 14 years old.
Blah, 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 blah. I am back. All right, we're going to try this again. We're going to still stay at Virginia Beach. And what I'm looking for is a dentist. Looking for a dentist in Virginia Beach that will answer the phone. I looked at 3 or 4 of them. This one, I think, is a good one. Let's try another one. They seem friendly. With my assistant, Patricia, who will help me. Well, I think I got it this time. This just makes me feel warm and fuzzy. You know what this does for me? It tests, you know, sometimes we test ourselves, and I test to myself, see if I'm still sharp, if I can still improv, if I can still do it, you know. So that's what happens. It kind of tests me to see if I'm still sharp and I still could do it, if I have improv skills. If I can keep the person on the phone, the trick is keeping the person on the phone for 1 minute without them hanging up on me. That's the game. Pat, you know how silly I am. You know how silly I am.
Yeah.
Do you think that I can keep this person on the phone for 1 minute being silly before they hang up on me? 1 minute.
Okay.
All right. You think I could? Yes or no?
Yeah, I guess so.
Right. You're so excited for this game. Thank you.
No, I'm curious. I am very curious.
I'm curious if I can do it. Just for my little thing. Okay, I'm going to make the call. The object is to keep the person on the phone for at least 1 minute. I'm calling the business without them hanging up on me. That's the game. Pat says she doesn't know. She's on the fence. Here we go. I'm calling the dentist's office in Virginia Beach.
Oceanfront Dentistry, this is Erica speaking. How may I assist?
Hi, Erica. My name is Brian, and I'm just calling to get some information.
Yeah.
Erica, I have a problem. I'm looking for a doctor who could perform implants and maybe the very least, what do you call those things? Not implants, but the other fake teeth? Dentures.
The denture? Yeah.
Yeah. And Do your office perform implants?
Yes, we do. We do that in this office.
Okay, I'm a well-known celebrity in a ring with the WWE. Are you familiar with WWE wrestling? Because I kind of want to keep it anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're familiar with the WWE?
Yeah.
Oh,
a little bit.
Then you might know. You might know. You might know who I am.
Not quite sure.
I'm the graveyard ditcher, baby. Graveyard baby. I'll give you the T-shirt later. You'll love me. You know who I am.
Okay.
Anyway, between me, so I like to keep this anonymous.
Okay.
I would like to come in for an appointment to probably get some implant or very least dentures because I have a serious problem. And I'd like to know when he's available.
So with that, let me see. We do have two doctors in office, and they are, it's a process, so it's not something that you can come in one day and it be done one day. Though.
Right, I understand. I understand completely.
And then with that, if I'm being quite honest, we aren't exactly accepting new patients on strictly the doctor's side because they are so booked out.
Right. But, you know, I'm the graveyard baby. Can you make an exception for me, honey?
Hold on one sec for me, okay?
All right, honey.
Best dental care possible. Our goal is to give you a beautiful smile that makes you look and feel great. Oceanfront Dentistry is a comprehensive dental office offering complete dental care, including cosmetic dentistry, Invisalign, one-visit Cerec crowns, extractions, root canals, and teeth whitening. Oceanfront Dentistry has served the Virginia Beach community for over 30 years. Our office is conveniently located just off Interstate 264 on 21st Street. To
I'd
learn more
take my
about
bipolar
it, visit our website at oceanfrontdentistry.com.
Come back to me, honey. I am using my psychic powers. Come back to me, baby. I will you to me. I will your soul to come back to the phone within 5 seconds. 4, 3,
here at Ocean Dentistry,
2,
Doctors White and Heffelfinger will help you have
I'm
a more comfortable
you.
Smile. We offer Invisalign Orthodontics, a system that can give you a stunning smile without anyone
right,
noticing that you're
using
a device to straighten your teeth.
Overlaying.
Invisalign fits
overlaying.
Comfortably over the
gave
teeth
me.
And helps to align them
you
properly,
back to me.
Giving your smile
take,
a healthier,
your
more
soul.
Even look. Invisalign can be removed in
7 seconds,
sir?
And I got to go. Hello?
All right,
hello?
So can you hear me? All right, so.
Yes, I can. You sound lovely.
So what I'm going to do is, since you kind of want to keep it a little kind of on the low a little bit, there's a doctor.
Yes.
If you don't mind, I'm going to give you his number. He might be able to help you a little bit better than our office.
Okay, but before you do that, I'd like to know, it's not for me. It's not for me. It's for my dog. It's my dog.
Okay.
And my dog has bad teeth, and I was wondering, does he make dog dentures?
I don't think so.
I mean, I tried to call the pet thing. They said call a dentist, so I just wanted to take a shot. That my dog has, he can't, I've been giving him milk all day because he can't even chew food, so I've been giving him soft stuff like milk and maybe a Danish once in a while. And I'm thinking that, do they make doggy dentures? Sweetheart, are you there?
I'm sorry, I really don't know. I really don't know.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right, I understand. You know, I'm kind of disappointed that you didn't hurry about me. Let me give you what I do. I mean, if you saw me in a ring, you remember this. Here we go. Okay. I'm going to bury you, man. I'm going to put you in the ground and dig you back up. And then I'm going to get your bones, and I'm going to peel your skin about. And I'm going to make you a skeleton. I'm going to feed your bones to my dog. Okay, now do you remember me?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, that's okay. All right. I'm going to call, but when can I call back to see if the doctor is there? So I just want to know. I don't want to call him at his house. But I'm just making a call to see if they can give my dog some doggy dentures. Maybe
in the next, like, hour.
In an hour? Okay. I'll call him an hour. Do you want a T-shirt? Do you want a T-shirt, honey?
No, thank you.
Okay. Okay. Not a fan, huh? Okay. Well, thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
I want to get you. I want to hold you. Hello?
Wow. All right.
She knew you were pranking her.
No, she did not. I could tell she did not know that. But she loved me. I almost had her. I had her.
Can you dig it?
Yes.
Can you dig it?
Yes.
Can you dig it?
You know what's really hard about that is because there is not a script. There's not a script to that. You go purely improv on that. He didn't hang up on me, so I won. I said a minute, and I won. Don't take my victory away from me, Patricia. I won.
Okay.
You know, holidays bring out the greed in people. I just want to make one more call, and I want to explain why. People are good. And I want to call a black beauty parlor in Virginia again. Let's go back in Virginia. And I want to say that I'm a radio station and somebody in that shop won. And it's a makeup name. That they won some money, but they have to answer some questions. You know, it's a radio show. The game is I made up the name. Okay? Do you think the greed that a person will answer the phone and say that's her because it's greed and it's money for Christmas and the holidays? Or would they be honest and say, I'm sorry, the person doesn't work here? I'm thinking Christmas greed will have you. Oh, wait a minute. Here's a 111 here. Let's see this 111. Hello, 111. You're live on the air with Brian 111. Hello.
You should be hunted down and waterboarded.
It's my little elf. It's my little elf, Mr. Solution. Hello, little elf.
That's all I can think of when I think of you is waterboarding.
Oh, come on, Mr. Solution. That's talent.
Oh, you that need is. To be waterboarded, boy.
No other blog talk show, no other blog talk show does it. You know that, Mr. Solution. That's why you're here. You've been a faithful listener for about 10 years now. Tell me how good I am. I must be good to get your attention. Yeah.
Brian, I have to admit, this may be the weaker or the worst side of me. When I come on your show, I'm just telling you, it is, oh boy, it's the abyss.
Relish your abyss.
The abyss, man, the abyss. Anyway, Brian, what kind of Thanksgiving, listen, when you tell, what's her name? Melissa, yeah. See, you remember one time I asked Melissa, I said, is this the only show in which you appear? And you, how many 111s do you have right now?
Right now I got 4.
Yeah, well.
You're number 5.
See, the thing is that I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
I go, I participate in a lot of different shows.
Uh-huh.
So it's not a bad thing, but, you know, some people
uh-huh.
deflect. They love to deflect and
right.
Piling, giving a lot of information, you know, kind of defeats the purpose of having a direct conversation.
That
so,
is
yes,
true.
I asked Melissa once, I said, she said this is the only show that she appears on, so she has to keep that in mind. I think you ask some question. You ask all kinds of questions.
Yes,
and she said, and she just thinks people should answer the question. And I just, sometimes that's not beneficial to answer some of the, it's not that you're.
Why? You're anonymous.
Well, hold
Did
on.
You say
it's not that.
Yeah,
it's not that your questions are dumbass questions all the time, but sometimes. Yeah, they just don't contribute to. Oh, they don't contribute to all the, you know, background that needs to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I answer what I think is relevant at the point, and so there you go. But it's not, your show is not a bad show, but like I say, you should be beaten. I mean, pummeling you thoroughly would be a good thing.
Shut up. Admit, I got the best show on Blog Talk. Admit it, Pooh. I got the best show. Nobody's like me. Nobody's like me.
Oh, Brian.
That's right.
Oh, Brian.
Yeah, that lady, I mean, if she found out who this is,
you're talking
who
pack.
You are.
You're, that's
oh,
pack.
I think she'd be as pissed as a wet hen, as they say. So
she would be. Hey, I'm
anyway,
the graveyard.
Brian,
yep.
you've been prank calling people for years and years and years.
I have.
Why do you do that? What's the?
Because it amuses me.
Now you know that is precisely the sophomoric answer I anticipated.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Carry on.
You know,
I'll go back
into
my little cubby hole and listen to
you. Go back and we'll bring you out once to know. You know,
I just thought that was terrible abuse. It's just flagrant abuse.
It was abuse. Why would it be abuse? I asked that she did dentures for my doggy.
Come
abuse.
On, doggy dentures? Are you kidding me?
You know, I'll tell you why.
You know, if she didn't want to beat you herself, I'm sure a lot of people would be willing to take up the cause. Go ahead.
Hey, how you like my improv? What? How you like my improv as the wrestler? How's that? How well did I do? How did I do?
I don't know the wrestlers. I can't.
Okay.
It sounded typical Brian-esque, but
okay.
No, I don't know the wrestler.
I made it up. I just wanted to know what my spiel. How did you think this? Purely as improv. I don't have it written down. The reason I do it.
You're good at effing with people. Go on.
I'm not effing with people. I'm talking to people. If you're on the radio and you interview, or it's like I'm talking to you, there's no script to this. I have nothing, no idea what's coming out of your foul mouth.
The difference is I know you, you see.
Uh-huh.
Those people are unsuspecting. That's the problem. They're being terribly abused, terribly. And they don't know it, or at least I'm sure they suspect something. Their spider sense has to go off at a particular point.
But see, that's the thing. You could suspect something. You could be on the verge, and that's what makes it funny, because you have that pause saying, it could be real too, but I cannot be definite. That this guy, and so you say something really outrageous, then you go, okay, I know. I had her, the deal was to have her for a minute, and I had her for a good 4 minutes. She was even going to give me the number to the doctor, his home number. I say that was a success call.
Well, first of all, I say hell no, because a minute is nothing. If a person is doing business, I just want to debunk the debunker, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Doing business, they will spend waste time. Excuse me, with
he was going to give me the number to the dentist, his home number.
Yeah, but even with
he
you, they'll
said,
waste time
up,
because
sir. No, she had an out. She had an out.
You rock them on the heels. They just oh man, it's just it's weird. It's completely weird. It's weird.
When's your show coming up?
I'm going to call a whorehouse for you and see if you can get in.
Now, that would be interesting.
All right.
And listen, I'm sure it wouldn't be your first time.
Hell no. Yeah, you know what? No, I am. Okay, I will admit, I am a massage person. I've been to massage studios.
Hey, but wait a minute. That's any Instagram model nowadays. So
I know. So I haven't really been to a whorehouse. I have this OCD and I have this disease complex that I'll get skeevies or scabies if I go into a whorehouse with the bed. You know, I'm thinking if I go to a whorehouse and there's a bed, I'm thinking automatically bed bugs, crabs. When was the last time they changed the sheets? You know what I mean? I couldn't.
Oh, okay. I tell you how you may avoid that. You've got to get someone on the Heidi Fleiss plateau.
Oh, I know. I hung around Heidi Fleiss for about 2 months. Heidi was
my friend. For real?
Yeah, for real. It was a person. It was Peter Sellers' daughter. She was I can't remember her name, but I always remember it as Peter Sellers' daughter. She was trying to get into the entertainment business, so she came to one of my auditions. And we talked for a little while. We had coffee, and she mentioned that Heidi Fleiss was her friend. Would I like to meet her? And I said, yeah, yeah. I wasn't in the radio or anything. I was just, this was in a production kind of thing. And I met Heidi Fleiss, and we were friends for about a couple of months. There was another porn actress, her name, and you could Google it. She was in the 80s, very popular in the 80s. Her name was Jade East.
Now, you know I won't, but go on.
Well, I'm just saying, Jade East, EAST, beautiful Asian porn actress. So I used to hang around with Heidi and her a lot for about a couple of months. She was a good girl. She was a nice girl. She was funny.
No, she wasn't.
She was kind of quirky.
No. That's not true. She wasn't good. Did you spend time in the Who's Gal?
Innocent people go to jail, my friend.
But yes, that's true, but she wasn't.
What do you mean she wasn't? You know, Heidi didn't do anything that's criminal. All she did was provide community service to lonely men. I mean, it was a victimless crime that she did. And then she turned state evidence.
No, she took advantage of people. She blackmailed people. She threatened blackmail. I mean,
She did not.
How long did she spend in the Who's Gal, roughly?
I don't know. Like I said, it was only a couple of months. I didn't really keep up with it. I know she got involved with that actor for a while, and he was a nutcase. I forgot the name of the actor. He fell in love with her, and when he fell in love with her, he kept her to it. You know, to his breast. He almost locked her in. Nobody could get near her when he did. Who was that actor? Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me see. I think he died recently. I know if Melissa was there, she would know. Heidi Fleiss. I don't know if Heidi is still alive.
Of course she's still alive. I mean,
I don't know if she's still alive. It's been a long-ass time, man. I don't know if she's still alive.
Look, it's almost a certainty that she is still alive.
There she is. Her father was a pediatrician, and her mother was an elementary school teacher. At 22, she began managing a prostitution ring under Madam Alex. I think I met her. I really think I met her. I'm not quite sure. I think I met her.
I'm saving the world right now, right?
Yeah, you're saving the world.
Talking to Brian?
I'm being a human shunt. A heat sink.
Yeah, you are being. Here's an interview she had. Wait a minute. Been a long time. Here's an interview she had. Let me see if I can get it.
I painted this big S on my chest.
This conversation, we need an interview with Heidi herself. I'm definitely a target.
People get convicted of murder based on eyewitness testimony. You don't have to have videotape.
Where it's the only thing they know how to do, they continue to do it. Which leads us to the point that now, for one, has made the my best judgment. The best judgment for now seems to be pajamas, which is what Heidi Fleiss is selling.
Oh, that was
this conversation.
That's October 3rd, 2022.
I think what happened, if I recall,
No, she's still alive. That was 2022. That was last year.
That's right.
That's last year.
They wanted that little black book, and I think because she wouldn't hand it over, they threw her in the, you know, lockdown.
And her main client was Charlie Sheen. I did a movie with. It's funny. I did a movie with Charlie Sheen, and Charlie was one of the nicest people I met. Who was
now,
her
did
boyfriend?
Your part stay in the movie? Because the last time I asked you about something as public as a movie, you went on the Nunya bullshit. So
that's right, Nunya. And
yeah,
you know
so
why?
Now,
because
are you in
you
the?
Were, no, I'll tell you. Let me tell you why. Because you would look at it and then you would critique my performance, and I will never hear the end of it. You would call and you go, really? And I would never hear the end of it because you would do that. So I don't tell you. It's Nunya. Nunya.
But if you're a great actor or a thespian.
I didn't say I was a great. I never said I was a great actor. I never said that.
Okay. Now, this is truly a revelation. This is the first time I've ever come across a shy actor. Oh, man.
A shy actor.
This is absolutely out of the...
Yeah.
This is off the chart.
No, I'm not a shy actor. I just don't want you guys to be bullying me for the rest of the time I come on the air, and then you make fun of me.
Oh, bully, bully, bully. The bully doesn't want to be bullied. Oh,
I'm not a bully.
Nice.
You bad, bad man. I'm not a bully. Leave me alone.
Were you really in the movie? Just tell me that. Were you?
I bought the ticket.
You move around. You weren't the crash dummy, right?
No, I didn't get that part. Somebody else got it.
I heard they called you in.
I auditioned, and they said no. Next, all right.
Yeah, I heard
Tom
they called
Sizemore.
You for that.
Tom Sizemore. That was the guy.
So did you really do a movie with Sheen?
Yes, I did.
With Charlie Sheen?
I did one. Yes, I did one movie with him. Yes. Yes, I did.
What did you do? Did you get killed? Or run over by...
I get killed. All right, let's bring in the crash dummy, the black one, the black dude. Okay, you're going to get killed in this scene. What? But I got
did
lied.
You get run over by one of those steam rollers?
See, this is why I don't tell you. This is what I don't tell you. Your jealousy is just unbelievable, Mike.
You
God.
Know I'm teasing. If I saw you, I would get a cup of coffee and a biscuit. I would definitely be in my British mode.
Why do I think that you're dressed in some kind of lingerie with a biscuit?
Oh, that's not me. Oh.
And your little smoky jacket. Hello.
No, that's not me. No.
Or you're
I do not roll that way. But
you're in your little robe that has little chihuahuas on it.
I would play it over and over and over again.
Yeah, I know you would. I know.
Brian in a movie. Oh my goodness. That would be
I actually did get killed in the movie. I actually did get killed. So you're part right. You're actually right. I actually did get killed.
How?
But that's
how,
it.
How were you offed?
No. Okay, let's play a game. I will answer you anything you want, but you got to answer me too. So we'll play that real game, okay? So I'm going to say you can ask me any questions, and I'll give you the answer, but I have to ask you some questions, and you got to give me the answer.
Okay, I just ask you, how were you offed?
Well, I already gave you a lot of information. Now it's your turn. Now,
okay,
where do
so
you
tell
live?
Me how you were
where
offed.
Do you,
said,
where do you live, Mr. Solution? Where
you,
do you
said
live?
You were offed. Now, I'm not going to tell you that.
You don't play. You don't play
I want
the game,
you showing
Mike.
Up on my doorstep. When I want you, I'll find you.
Yeah, I'm going to show up on your doorstep. I'm going to get a ticket to nowhere, and I'm going to just show up on your – I'm going to pay all that money right in an uncomfortable plane just to show up on your doorstep.
Well, let's put it this way. There are – I'll tell you the animals that are near me, coyote, bear, mountain lion.
I got that in California. That could be in Montana. That could
live near it. You live near that?
Yeah, I live close to the mountains, dude. I got the bears. We had a bear come down about 3 years ago and right into the neighborhood. I live in the foothills.
Okay, I have raccoon.
Yeah, I got
those. Opossum.
Yeah.
The only marsupial in the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah, we got. Wait a minute, what is the marsupial?
It's a pouched animal.
They're animals with the pouch.
You don't live in a, where you live in fucking Australia? No, a raccoon has a pouch. Shut up.
No, they don't.
No, no, no. An opossum has a pouch.
Raccoons do have a pouch, don't they?
No.
They do.
No.
Don't they?
No. No.
They don't? I thought they had pouches. I thought they did.
No, they don't.
All right. Well, we
anyway,
have to
you.
To the ship. Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. But it's very
yeah.
quiet. It's peaceful.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, nobody who lives within half a mile, quarter of a mile, they don't want certain ilks. Prowling around. It's
well,
not
I got
safe.
Ilks prowling around.
It's not safe, actually. It would be safer for the opossum than for you.
Yes. Yes. We got skunks. We got all the wildlife.
Oh, those are everywhere. We have some beautiful skunks. Oh, man.
Beautiful skunks. You freak.
You just hope the wind is blowing the other way. Oh, my goodness.
No. Skunks are cool. I mean, they don't stink unless they spray you. And normally they're like big cats. They're little kittens.
Well, you know, that
they're
stuff
is
very expensive for them to produce. So they use it somewhat judiciously. And they are really insect eaters. They eat a lot of insects. And
yes, they do.
Like
they
that.
Do.
Yeah,
I had a story. It was a sad story. So I was coming down the stairs on the outside, and there's a space by the stairs where you know, and I thought
what
it was
is
you,
it?
I thought it was a cat. I thought it was a cat. I thought it was a
you
cat.
Okay?
But it was a skunk. It was a baby skunk. I guess apparently the mother left them or whatever. And it was a baby skunk. And I go, oh. But I didn't realize it was a skunk at first. I thought it was just some fucked up cat. And I'm going, oh. So I left a saucer of milk for the cat, which was the skunk. Here you go, little boy. Here you go. I named him Bubba. There you go, Bubba. And I would leave a little, you know, I would soak a little bread in the milk so he could eat that and get some nourishment. Bottom line, I did this for, and the skunk recognized me.
Mm-hmm.
And I came down, and he comes towards me, and I realized it was not a cat. Well, that's a funny-looking cat. I swear, it's true. And it was a skunk. I'm going, but he was so cute. And he came towards me, and he wanted food, and I gave him food. Well, bottom line, the skunk grew to be a skunk. You know what I mean? You know, a month later, 3 weeks later, they're growing. And it was kind of sad, so he left. He left the little place where he was, and skunk. Bye-bye, skunk. So I was out smoking a cigarette. I was sitting on this stump. I was out smoking a cigarette. And I see this skunk come towards me.
Right.
And I forgot that, you know, that it was my guy. It was Papa.
Oh.
But he was a skunk. And he's coming towards me like, you know, he's waddling towards me like he didn't hesitate. He was waddling
towards me. Well, he was always a skunk.
Like I said in the beginning, when he was so small, I thought it was a fucked up cat. And look at the kitty.
Well, let me just say this before you finish. They have been known to enter through doggy doors. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, and I had another squirrel friend called Rocky who used to follow me up. Well, that's another story. But anyway,
yeah.
It was sad. It was sad because I ran from him, and he tried to waddle towards me, and I didn't click it till later that it was probably Bubba. You know what I mean? It was Bubba. And I never saw him again.
Well, you know, they don't run from anything. They're one of the most, with that pungent odor, they're one of the most powerful animals in the animal kingdom. And yes, so yes. Since they're not scared of anything, so yes. they'll wander in front of cars. You know, they just think the car should move.
They're cute. They're not, like Mr. Sluice said, they eat bugs and insects, and they do have teeth. But
and they're nocturnal. Oh, they have great teeth, and they're nocturnal. They generally
come out. They are.
But
anyway, that's my skunk story. I got to move on. There's Mr. Fred here, the cat who made Pat's cat who made the appearance on the show. Hello, Mr. Fred.
Oh,
never. I say hello to that damn cat, and he shuts up. But as soon as I start talking,
meow.
Fred, shuts up. The damn cat works for the union. I'm not coming on your show unless you pay me. Here we go. You know, I know we got to get to our title, and I got like 3 freaking hours. Try to do that on improv. 3 fucking hours, man. The title of the show is Orange
Stop
Jesus.
Your complaining.
Hey, you little elf. I'm going to hit you on the nose with a newspaper. Orange Jesus and Santa George Santos. It must be Christmas time for the Republicans. We are the best show on Blog Talk Radio. Go look at the other shows. We have done it.
This is the most wonderful time of the year. Oh, man. People get a little bit of a break from their laborious ball and chain occupations that they hate.
Yeah.
They're only working for the money. Oh, man.
Yeah. For the man.
So they smile a little bit more. But they're in a lot of debt, though. That's the downside. People are into stifling debt.
This is what you work for. Mr. Solution, we don't work to save money. We work to spend money. And spending money brings you joy and happiness, because this is what you work hard for, is to enjoy the spoils of the hard work.
Well, 70% of the economy is consumer-based. But no, I don't think people really set out to get this bogged down in debt. Yeah, they want to buy some things. They may even want to splurge a little bit, but not like, from what I understand, is happening. No. It's kind of like the boiling the frog. So that's the analogy I would apply.
Boil the frog? What kind of thing is that? Did you say boil the frog?
Well, yeah, I'm using that as a parallel for what's happening to people. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you, but at the same time, I'm saying that it has impacted people to the extreme, i.e. the negative, and they didn't expect to get this much in debt.
Yeah. Well, you know, getting in debt is an American way. It's just the American way. It was funny. It was... I lived in Boston for a little bit. Never been to Boston. Don't know about the Boston people. I'm going to tell you about the Boston people. I guess the Boston people and New Jersey people, they have their very, how do you call it? I'm not going to say honest, but they don't hold back. And,
I want to get political just for a minute, Brian, if you don't mind.
Okay, just for a minute because I got to move on. Go.
Well, I don't think you'll move on too readily from this. I was listening to the mayor, Democratic Mayor Eric Adams of our great, great, great state, New York, and he's bitching and moaning and crying and yapping about the $12 billion deficit with the B, $12 billion. And he opened himself up to that by claiming to be a sanctuary city. So those bold, ballsy governors, you know, most notably Florida and Texas, they said, okay, you want to usurp authority that you really don't have by designating yourself a sanctuary city, So we'll go ahead and apply. And they sent all the, bust all those people up there. Now, some people say, well, didn't he just bust them back? Because he asked. Go ahead.
I'm listening to you. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah, so New Yorkers are actually being deprived of what they deserve instead of Adams just having the balls to send them all to D.C.
Okay.
That's a big issue now. That's a hot topic in the news. But the worst part of it is the New Yorkers are going to get the worst, the short end of the stick, the short end of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any opinion on that, or?
Nope.
You're going to take the Democratic way out.
I'm taking a Democratic oath. We are in denial. Is that part of the neighborhood that I'm? That's what it is. But you know, it's like.
Well, I know New Yorkers are tough, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, people listen to the show, and sometimes we'll do a oh, there's another 111. Let's say hello to that 111. The 111s are coming in. Oh, wait. 111, you're live on the air. Hello, this is Brian.
It's about time I decide to come back on this here show and set your ass straight. And that's what I intended
to do. Hello there, Sarge. How are you, sir?
Sarge, why are you coming on 111? How come you blocked your number, Sarge?
It's Skype, man. I call it from my Skype deal. I don't know why they do it. I haven't even figured out how that dialing system works.
Hey, you know who missed you, Sarge? You know who's been asking about you?
I have no idea. I'm sure you'll enlighten me.
No, listen, Little Sean's been asking.
Oh, yeah, man, I miss Sean. Where's Sean? How's Sean doing? Is Melissa on today?
You left him, and he's been asking about you.
Well, Sean is my protege, and I have to maintain contact with him in order to make sure he doesn't turn out like you.
I'm going to
take my responsibility very seriously. I intend to get back in touch with Sean, and I'm going to keep him on the straight and narrow. But I just called in just in time to hear Mr. Solutions raise that issue with Eric Adams, and I'd like to raise a corollary to that matter that he just raised, and that's Chicago Mayor Let's Go Brandon Johnson and what he said the other day. I mean, this guy, one thing about Democrats, I swear to God, I think it's, aside from their incipient socialism and Marxism and their insane lunacy, it's their absolute tendency, the absolute proclivity to avoid responsibility for anything. Everything that's wrong in their governance of their cities is somebody else's fault. Listen to what Let's Go Brandon Johnson said. Now, listen to this, man. He actually said this in a speech. He says, it has to be better coordination, whatever that's supposed to mean. What we have seen is a raggedy form instituted by right-wing extremism. Everyone knows that the right-wing extremism in this country has targeted democratically ran cities, and quite frankly, they've been very intentional about going after democratically ran cities that are led by, wait for it now, people of color. The whole motivation is to create disruption and chaos because that's what this particular party has been about. This is the same political party that did not want to accept that President Obama was actually an American. It's the same Republican right-wing extremism that stormed the Capitol. It's the same right-wing extremism that refused to accept the results of the Civil War. It's raggedy. It's disrespectful. It's mean-spirited. It's an unclean spirit, quite frankly. The irony abounds in the statement. I mean, it's hard to know where to begin with this. And this is a Democrat playbook. They just wash, rinse, repeat the same words, maybe put them in a slightly different order, but they say the same thing all the time in order to evade responsibility for what they're largely responsible for. It's unbelievable. It is breathtaking in its consistency. Because listen, when you accept the result of the Civil War, that was the Democrats. What do you think? Opposition to Reconstruction, civil rights, the Ku Klux Klan, segregation in all the big cities run by Democrats. That was the Democrats that used to accept the results of the Civil War. Any projection.
Well, yeah.
It's real. It exists if you're a Democrat. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Sarge, while we have you on the line, do you have any idea how much Mr. Adams earned per annum?
As the mayor of New York, I'm not sure, but it's probably more than the president of the United States makes.
That's over $400K, right?
Yeah, I think he makes more. I think he makes like $600. I think. I'm not sure about that, though. I think it's, I remember reading a long time ago somewhere around over $500,000 or something.
Well, you know, I can't tell New Yorkers what to do, but they really should bounce his sorry carcass out of office because he's crying and moaning and lamenting about the so-called, I guess, the influx of, and I'm going to call them what the law calls them, illegal aliens. And if New Yorkers put up with this, they only have themselves to blame. See, he is untouched by this. He's just up there. He's a great thespian, not as good as Brian, but he's a thespian. He's an actor, right? And because he's immune from this, he lives in his warm, nice, palatial, wherever. And,
palatial?
What?
You said palatial.
I did.
Yeah, you said palatial.
What?
What's on your mind?
That's your filthy mind working overtime, Brian.
No, I said palatial.
You said palatial.
Palatial. Palatial. That's what he said. Palatial.
Hey, that would be out of
Here's
context.
Your filthy mind at work in, Brian. Stop projecting.
That would be out of context.
Stop projecting,
Brian. But no, they should kick his sorry carcass out of office. That's the only thing they should do with him. Out.
Man, you know what? As bad as Eric Adams is, and Eric Adams is pretty bad, he's kind of a lighter version of Let's Go Brandon Johnson in Chicago. I mean, Let's Go Brandon Johnson is somewhat like Jussie Smollett in blackface. I mean, it's like they've elected Jussie Smollett in blackface. He's bringing MAGA Republicans. The only thing he left out was the bleach of the noose.
Well, that makes us, wait, that goes to our topic today, Orange Jesus and George Santos. While you're talking about maniacs, George Santos is a Republican, by the way. Representative George Sands, here's a little bit of George right here. Listen, here's a little bit of George.
To go for round three of it.
Here's George Santos, who's a Republican that they're going to try to expel.
Hi, I'm Diane Macedo. We have breaking news. Embattled Congressman George Santos is speaking on Capitol Hill ahead of an expected vote to expel him from Congress. Let's listen.
Thanks for coming out early today. Just wanted to...
Hello, my Rainbow Coalition. Hello. I am a gay Republican. Hello. I got the Trump card. Hello, holla.
We all
done?
All right.
Yes,
sir. All right, good morning, everybody. Thanks
good morning. Hello.
You all know the vote that was supposed to happen today was moved to tomorrow, but... In lieu of keeping a schedule, I decided to stay with today's 8 a.m. Commitment to all of you and to the American people. Here's where we are. We are due to go for round three of expulsion of Congressman George Santos from NY3. I think we can all look back and say this is not how at least I thought this year would go. I don't think this is how most of people in the media would think this year would go. And it's just an unfortunate circumstance that I have to sit here and watch American people wait. Congress wasted their people's time over and over again on something that is the power of the people, not the power of Congress, which is to remove and elect and remove members of Congress. Obviously, somewhat cling to some circumstances and to others.
And let me remind you, that's yours. Now, if you're not a news person, cable news person, political person, you probably don't know much about Santos. I heard that. I heard that.
Brian, now I understand you have a ready-made excuse, because after all, I noticed that this guy, Santos, his backbencher, who is one of 435, and I know you have a built-in excuse, because after all, he was the topic of the show. And I understand you want to make a big deal out of Joe Santos. Maybe it's a movie, because he is kind of a toad, I'll grant you. He's an amusing topic for a show. But as far as his overall significance, even along with that, yes, he may indeed be a criminal. I fail to see what is his true significance, given the fact that Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell and Nancy Pelosi and Rashida Tlaib, the Ilhan Omar, and any number of a host of Democrat reprobate congressmen with infinitely more influence than this guy are in the House. Plus, he's a freshman congressman anyway. So I'm trying to understand what he's done in any way, shape, or form or fashion that's been as destructive to the prospects of the American people as the aforementioned demon rats. What is it?
Well, what he's doing right now is he's trying to get in position where he thinks Trump is going to be president to pardon him of his crimes. But I have to let the listeners know what kind of crimes that he is, the allegation is for, and why they're expelling this motherfucker. And here we go. So when you talk about the rest of the people, here's what this guy did. He's been indicted.
Did he sleep with a Chinese? Did he have sex with a Chinese spy? Maybe spill his secrets to her on his pillow talk? Did he lie about Russia collusion? Did he lie and set the country all aflame about some supposed collusion of Donald Trump with the Vladimir Putin and the KGB? I wonder if he's a backbencher. He's got no – look, I'm going to write out before he even gets started. I'm going to acknowledge he's probably a criminal. Okay. Let the judicial system take care of him. The expulsion vote failed, I guess, because many of these politicians are so corrupt themselves, they don't want to set a precedent for them to be kicked out of office for simple corruption, since so many of them could be guilty of the same thing. But nonetheless, you know, I mean, this guy is a nobody in Congress. Like I say, he's one of 435, a backbencher with no significant influence in Congress whatsoever, other than what the Democrats choose to put on him by making him the target of their ire.
You're saying
I don't get
Democrats
it, man.
You learn,
but okay,
but
we can have fun with it. We can have fun with it. Okay, great. We can have fun with it.
I'm not going to have fun with it. It's serious. This is some serious shit he's in. And I have to remind everybody why he's in some serious shit. Some of the facts here are that he had conspiracy to commit an offense against the U.S., just like Donald Trump. Conspiracy to commit offenses against the U.S.
Oh, come on now. That's getting weaker day by day with more and more evidence of corruption in Georgia. You just let me go after that. Don't bring Donald Trump into this. Donald Trump is looking more and more justified every single day in his questioning about the election in Georgia. More and more evidence is piling up from the State Election Commission about the fraud in 2020 in Georgia. Please, don't even make comparisons. There is none.
We'll see.
And I'll cite it to you if you want to hear it. So if you're going to make an analogy, don't make it a Donald Trump, because he just don't hold water.
I'm just reading Forbes on the key facts of what he's charged with. That's all I'm doing. I'm reading it. I didn't create the charges. I'm not making them up.
All right, let's not be deceptive. Let's set the record straight. There's plenty of evidence for Donald Trump to believe what he believed, now being verified by state audits from the State Commission, from judicial rulings and the 152,000 missing votes that the court in Fulton County ordered to be held for examination by the court, which were suspicious ballots. They were pristine. They were unfolded. They were supposedly mailed in. They were identically marked. Identically marked. And now all of a sudden they're missing. 152,000 of them missing. And that's not all. There's a whole lot more. I don't want to go into it right now, but I'm saying stop making that analogy. It ain't holding up. Not under scrutiny.
One crime does not excuse the other. Crime is crime.
How can it be a crime if he was justified in his belief that the evidence was stolen and he had objective evidence that it was? What crime could he have possibly committed?
I don't know. That's what the judge.
There isn't. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's why I keep telling you, he's being more and more vindicated in his telephone call to Brad Raffensperger by objective evidence that is being revealed.
We will find out during the process. Now, I'm on George Santos now, and I'm just trying to educate the people why he is going to be expelled tomorrow and why this motherfucker is going to go into the federal penitentiary. And right now what he's doing is he's trying to put himself in position that if Trump becomes president, that he will pardon him. This is what's going on behind the scenes. I'm just trying to let everybody know why this is happening. And he was charged with one count of violating the U.S. Code 371 for a scheme in which he allegedly made up false campaign contributions in order to obtain support from the national political community. He stole from the GOP, bottom line, which he used to make unauthorized campaign contributions in other people's name. Bottom line, this guy, wire fraud. This is interesting. He was charged with 9 counts of wire fraud, which is punishable by a fine and up to 20 years in prison. He was wiring money as part of the fraudulent scheme, as well as for other schemes in which Santos solicited donations to a fake campaign company and then used those funds on personal expenses, which is Botox and other stuff. And he falsely claimed he was unemployed, even though he was a congressman, a representative, but he falsely claimed he was unemployed to milk the government out of more money. And what people used to do is when they donated to his campaign, we're talking Santos' campaign, he would take the donation from their credit card, then he would use their credit card, he would do identity theft, and take their credit card and run up their charges on his own personal account as credit card theft, identity theft.
That's crazy.
This bastard, how low is that when you're donating to your campaign and he's taking your credit card and he's running it up for his own personal use as identity theft? This is one of the other charges that he's up against. And so, and not to mention he's lying about everything. Says this. He said he went to a school. He didn't go to a school. Said he went to a university. He didn't go to a university. Said he worked there and he didn't work there. And on and little frivolous things. This guy is an epitome of a Republican. And he will serve time. Thank you. He will. And watch. And they're going to take the vote tomorrow. So if you have cable TV, history, watch this guy go down because they're going to vote for expulsion. And they need...
You okay?
They need at least
okay.
60 votes
right.
on the Republican side to get rid of him. Goodbye, Santos.
Okay.
Good luck in prison.
Okay, Brian, I hope you don't think I have any truck whatsoever for a criminal, even if he calls himself a Republican. I don't. And if these charges... sustainable, he should pay the price for him. Like I said, right now he's an innocent man until he's proven guilty of it. But I'll admit there's strong evidence that he's done things criminal. So let him face the bar of justice. But you just said that it's typical of being a Republican because he's a liar about certain other things in his personal life. What about old Dickie Boy Blumenthal, who said he was a Marine in Vietnam on the DMZ at Con Tien? Okay? Hey, that was my area of operations, by the way. I was up on the DMZ in Quang Tri Province. I know what happened at Con Tien and 11 at Square. And for that guy to try to appropriate what happened to those Marines up there is a goddamn disgrace. But he's typical of lying Democrats. What about Ilhan Omar, who married a brother to get into the country? I'm not saying they had a, I don't know if they had a sexual relationship or not, but you got to marry so she could get into the country. That was part of her immigration scam. Democrats are the biggest liars in the house. Don't try to associate being a Republican with being a liar like that.
Well,
there ain't no comparison.
You could also go with Trump trying to move in Melania's family and gave them a citizenship without going through all the channels and moved them right on into this country. And Trump did that.
So, in other words, going through the immigration system and hiring an immigration lawyer and availing yourself of immigration law is the same thing as fraudulently marrying your brother. That's equivalent in your mind.
What
okay, be my guest. Be my guest. Hey, if you want to say that, so be my guest. I don't
what
agree.
What I'm saying then is factual that Trump brought Melania's parents over, and they were supposed to visit. He brought them over to the White House, and all of a sudden they got citizenship. All of a sudden.
But I think he said that was legal, Brian. Maybe you didn't pick up on that.
That was not. How could that be legal? Oh, that's legal? That all of a sudden the President of the United States can grant citizenship? Is that legal?
I didn't say the President of the United States can grant citizenship. I said you have not yet introduced any evidence that the manner in which they got citizenship was illegal. If you can, then I can look at what you say and evaluate it for evidences of illegality, since I am noddingly familiar with the immigration system and the naturalization process. But you haven't done that. You just made a correlation.
I think carelessly. I'll tell you why.
Let me just ask this question. I don't make up shit
because what I say, people can check what I say. I don't make up shit. I could lose a lot of credibility if I just make up shit. So I based on a lot of stuff.
I'm not saying you're making it up, Brian. I'm not saying you're making it up. I'm simply saying you've introduced something that you regard as suspicious without explaining to me why. See, notice I just went a moment ago. I mentioned what happened with the 152,000 missing ballots, and I explained to you why I think it stinks to high heaven. Order the Fulton County officials to retain them for examination by the court. They had a court order to retain them, and now all of a sudden they're missing. The Fulton County officials don't know what happened to them.
Okay.
You see, this is what I mean. You simply said that Melania's family got citizenship rapidly, and then you don't offer any other explanation.
That's
why there's something nasty.
I tried to search for there was a quick news report about it, and then that was it. It was, I guess, other news was important, and that wasn't. So there's no follow up on that. So I don't know. I'm just saying that you could probably look it up.
All right, well, let's chalk it up to that then. Okay, we don't know right now. I'm not willing to say that maybe Trump might have had some behind-the-scenes string pulled in order to expedite it. I don't know. You're the one making a claim, though. If I was making a claim like this, you better believe I'd be coming forth with a whole lot of evidence to buttress my contention. You ain't done it yet.
I will.
Okay, well, I'd be interested in hearing it. You can provide it honestly. You know me. I've told you a million times. I know how to evaluate evidence. I'm really pretty good at that. And if you got something to show that something was funky and where they got their citizenship, okay, let's see what it is.
Okay. Does immigration fall under the executive branch?
No.
Say again?
I don't think so. Does it?
Office of Immigration and Naturalization is part of the executive branch.
I'm not saying that he did anything illegal, but any high they could expedite or facilitate, and that doesn't mean it's illegal. That just means they may speed up the process a little bit, streamline.
Like a day.
That's true, too.
Here it is.
According
to The Guardian, Melania Trump's parents become citizens through chain migration.
Right.
And you know, what's really interesting.
Like hundreds of thousands of others.
It was interesting. Well, what's interesting about that is Trump hated chain migration. He wanted to get rid of chain migration. He was against chain migration. He couldn't stand chain migration. He couldn't.
Right.
But so here it is. And here's the news report. Here's the news report. See if I can get this right. So you hear it officially. Well, it's not coming up, but it should. Here we go. Well, Melania Trump's parents were sworn in as U.S. citizens on Thursday, completing a legal path to citizenship that their son-in-law has suggested. That their son-in-law has suggested eliminating. Victor and his mother, Amelia, both in their 70s, took the citizen oath at a private ceremony in New York City. The Slovenian immigrants, a former car dealer and textile factory, have been living in the U.S. as permanent residents. Really? How did they get that? That's pretty damn good. They slipped in and out of a site entrance at a Manhattan federal building flanked by Department of Homeland Security. Some workers inside didn't even know what was going on. The couple said little other than Victor telling reporters thank you when asked how they felt about becoming Americans. The Canathus' lawyer said that they had traveled a wonderful journey. I guess that's their lawyer. They applied for citizenship on their own and didn't get any special treatment. Bullshit. He confirmed that the First Lady sponsored their green cards. Her husband, Donald Trump, has proposed ending most family-based immigration, but he refers to it as chain migration. He allowed them to do it. He wanted to end it, but he allowed them to do it.
Okay, now question, Brian.
Melania Trump
Brian,
has indicated.
To answer the question,
this family may be autonomous. They may not need government aid, which would make it different than most of the chain migrants.
By the way, Brian, how would Donald Trump be able to stop them from availing whatever remedies are available in the law for them to do it? If he did that, wouldn't that be illegal for them to circumvent whatever they might want to do, even if it might have been over his objections? By the way, I'm not saying it was. All you're simply saying is a process was followed some sort of way, whether by hook or by crook, they went through a process. There's no indication of Donald Trump's opinions on the matter one way or the other than the fact that he's opposed to chain migration. So even if and Melania Trump's relatives chose to avail themselves of the system that exists, what is he supposed to do to stop it? Wouldn't that be illegal if he did?
Well, here's the story. Listen, it's only 47 seconds. Here we go.
Citizenship was just awarded to Victor and Maya Knauf. They have travailed a wonderful journey, like most have, millions have, in getting citizenship and waiting the requisite period of time. The application, the process, the interview was no different than anybody else's, other than security arrangements to facilitate today. They would appreciate their privacy, and we just thank everybody for their attention to this very important dialogue that we're having.
You know, there's always warning signs when they say they appreciate their privacy. What do you mean their privacy? You're a United States citizen. Can't you ask them? Aren't you happy to become American? No, we're not letting them take any questions. We appreciate their privacy, so go away. We're keeping it. There's always a warning signal. It always irks me when I hear that. It brings the hair in the back of my neck stand up when I hear that bullshit. Well, there you go. They're citizens now. Melania's parents are citizens.
Okay, so Brian, maybe that's true. Maybe they don't want to look, their daughter married Donald Trump. That meant they were going to be subject to scrutiny whether they wanted it or not. It is entirely possible that they wanted to become U.S. citizens, and they didn't want to be involved in all the hullabaloo about it. Now, I don't know why that's just so incomprehensible to think that could be so. I'm not saying it is, but it doesn't seem to be such a stretch to me to think they might not want to be involved in all the glare and the publicity. Maybe they're private people. Up until now, I've heard nothing about them. Now, all of a sudden, they're in the spotlight. Gee, they didn't ask for it necessarily. They didn't have anything to do with their daughter's decision to marry Donald Trump.
It was rumored that Melania's mother did soft porn.
What?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And what's the other one being a U.S. citizen?
I'm only joking. I'm starting to get really upset.
Well, don't listen to all the things you say. There's one thing, a straw man argument after straw man. When I'm knocking them down one after the other, then you just come up with another one.
Wait a minute.
Brian, let me ask you something here. We got illegal aliens, as you like to call them, and you are correctly characterizing them as that, sir. I appreciate you for doing it. We've got eight million illegal aliens that come into the country under this bastard Biden. Because these people, whatever else they did, they came in at legal place of entry with proper visas. They obtained residency in the United States. And now it appears they've obtained citizenship through the process. I've got no problem with them whatsoever based upon what I know about them right now. I have no disagreement with them at all. And I got to put up with 8 million illegal aliens who are costing the country, what, $400 billion a year in care and stipends and grants? Are you serious?
And who may be terrorists.
Yeah, on a terrorist watch list, too. You got to be kidding me. I'm supposed to get outraged about this? Not yet. Not until you give me a whole lot more evidence you give me thus far.
Well, the other
Brian, repeat that.
That was Brian being Brian. He wasn't serious.
Brian being Brian.
Oh, okay.
I get no respect. That's Brian just being Brian.
Yeah, I'm respecting you. I know that was your little throwaway jab. So I'm respecting you, Brian. I'm recognizing it for what it was.
He's scaling the greased flagpole.
When it comes to being rats, lowlife, corrupt, there is no corruption in the world like demon rats. I understand Republicans are corrupt too, but they're rationally corrupt. It's the kind of corruption that is traditional and understood, the kind of political corruption that goes back centuries, okay? And I'm not saying it's good, but it at least has a recognizable form. What the Democrats do is a new species of lunacy and insanity along with the corruption.
And, you know, I will say I have infinitely more respect for what Melania's parents did in terms of obtaining citizenship than what all of those illegals do. I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, so look, man, look, I'm not saying either side is good, Brian, because they ain't. But you know me, Brian. You know how much I'm against reparations, right? I told you I've made principle, constitutional, legal, ethical, and moral arguments against reparations. I've done it over and over again and with you and on your show. But if they are crazy enough to do it, I'm going to try to elbow my way to the front line and get the money. Are you hearing me?
You damn right.
And even as I take the money, I'm going to maintain it is illegal, immoral, unconstitutional, and stupid to do it. But you better believe if they decide to do it and I can get the money, I'm going to be at the head of the line if I can get there to get it before they come to their senses and stop giving it out.
And not only that, Sarge, you've heard of a lot of people who they use the term pass for another ethnicity. There's going to be a hell of a lot of passing and intercepting.
Yeah, remember that Indian, I think he was Tahil, or he was a Sikh, or I forget which caste of Indian he was, but he cut his hair very short, and he applied for a racial preference affirmative action gig or a scholarship at Harvard, got it, wrote a book about it, even though chromosomally and genetically He didn't have any discernible Negroid ancestry. He just had a very, he had dark, he was a dark-skinned Indian. He had a slightly broad nose, and he had features, the proportion of which might lead you to think he was black. And see, this is what I mean. So I suppose it could be a great deal of possibility for fraud and that too. People are tanning themselves. You know, a lot of people who are Caucasian, maybe if they get a good enough tan and whatnot, they might be able to pass themselves off as Negroid in order to take advantage of all this crap, this racial crap.
Hey, Sarge, let me differ with you a little bit on that. I heard them talk about mitochondrial Eve, and they can trace the human race all the way back to one pair, one couple. All right. If that's true, Sarge, how in the hell wouldn't everybody have at least a tinge? Now, I know there have been admixture, but it seems to me that every human – well, first of all, let me make this statement. Human DNA is 99.99% it, human. So it would seem to me that if we're not dealing with shenanigans here, everybody would have some of the similar DNA.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I mean, like you said, it's indisputable we share all these genetic strands, except for the very tiny percentage that makes these readily discernible, racially identifiable distinctions. I mean, let's face it, this is what we're arguing about. We can readily look at most people and assign a racial classification almost immediately. In most every instance, not all, we're usually right. So even though it may be a tiny bit of what makes us human, nonetheless, it is significant in the manner in which it alters our outward appearance. I mean, after all, we share 96 of our genes or so with chimpanzees. But that 5% is one hell of a lot different.
I'm saying,
look, here's what we need to know about race. What we need to know about race is it may be useful as an identifier and a descriptor, but beyond that, it should have no other value. That's all we need to remember.
Hold on, wait a minute.
And I think we remember that would be good.
Which is what you're saying, except for skin color, and we'll exclude albinism just for a moment, everybody has similar features. If you talk about the broad nose or broad lips or whatever, in other words, you've heard about non-related twins. Now, I'm just using that for example.
Yeah.
It would seem to me that barring the skin color, one could find similar, if not the same, characteristics in every one of those groups. We talk about Caucasoid, Mongoloid, and Negroid. But I read to you where science has debunked that there is a thing known as race. So, but just going back to the point, in every one of those different groups, you would find similar, if not the same, characteristic, nose, eye, et cetera. Except the skin. The skin is usually the only, I would say, outstanding feature, the melanin or lack thereof. In other words, broad noses are not just limited to one group. Anybody can, from Asians to Caucasians, everybody could, I mean, a lot of people could have the broad nose feature. So I wouldn't say that is in and of itself a classic identifier.
Well, you do understand, though, that anthropologists do rely upon these admittedly slight, particularly skeletal differentiations to identify someone by race when all they have is skeletal remains.
But they're,
and they're
terrible
almost always accurate.
Sarge, I watch crime pictures a lot, and they can't even reconstruct who a person is when the person has died.
No, I'm talking about regard to missing persons. People who are identified and all they have are skeletal remains. And the anthropologist examining.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, and the anthropologists who examine the skeletal remains make a preliminary finding, and then when they get a DNA analysis with relatives, they are invariably almost always correct.
I don't think so. I don't think that's accurate.
Oh, no, I'm certain of this, because I've seen it. I've seen it in my work as a police officer.
But I've also seen that they can't identify who a person is once the flesh is off the bones. And these are modern features. And by the way, what I read to you the other night.
I understand your problem with reconstructing the face of an individual. I'm talking about assigning a racial classification to the remains.
Okay.
That's where they are very good at doing, and they are almost always accurate.
But wait a minute. But now, science, I read to you the other night, and I'm sure you heard it. And all you have to do is go to dictionary.com.
Hold on, guys. 352.
And they're pretty accurate. They say they
don't
use racial distinctions.
Hold on. 352. Is this you, Pastor Don Jr., CEO? Is this you, Pastor Don Jr.?
Yes, sir. It surely is. Good morning. How you doing,
my
brother?
Hey, how you doing? Awesome.
Hey, Pastor Don Jr., CEO.
Hey, Pastor Don. How you doing?
Hey, how y'all doing? Shouts out to everybody out there in Radio Land. Shouts out to all the Brian Hammer supporters. I am Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the Winning Team Elite 300. We out here. Thank you so much. I'm loving the conversation. I'm here. I'm checking in.
All right. Good to have you here.
Jump in the pool there, brother. Jump in the pool and let at it.
Yeah, but here's the thing
I want to make sure I dive in right. I don't want to jump in the shallow end when I need to be in deep end. I want to make sure I'm on topic. Please, Hammer, help me.
Don't jump in too fast. There's a lot of sharks in this pool. A lot of sharks will eat you up.
Okay.
Be careful.
Hey, Brian is speaking about himself.
That's right. Well, we're here. Now, Trump is doing something that's smart. He's trying to get the black vote. I don't know if it's working.
Okay.
But this came in 16 hours ago that he's trying to go to Black Lives Matter for it. He's trying to embrace Black Lives Matter. Is this going to really work?
No, he isn't.
Come on, man.
No, he isn't. No. I know what the story is. Good, Brian. Sorry for interrupting, but once you put your little warped version of what he's trying to do, I'm going to set you straight, okay? So go ahead.
Well, Trump last year or 2 years ago labeled Black Lives Matter as a terrorist group.
I think
that's
he
what
still
he
does.
No, right? Oh, thank you, Mr. Solution. So just recently, 16 hours ago, Donald Trump on Wednesday, that's yesterday, I guess, he touted that he wants to support a Black Lives Matter group. He is actually claiming that he's receiving broader support from that group than any other group before. That's what he said.
Let me tell you what the genesis of this is, because you're distorting it as usual, Brian.
Wait, hold on. Let me just give you
All something. Right, all right. Sorry.
Black Lives Matter group is not one group. They're not like they are, give me an urban. They're not just one group. There's many chapters of Black Lives Matter. They're not under one umbrella. So
yeah, but it's very corrupt based on the reports I've heard.
When you have no charter, you have no rules, that you could just say that you're Black Lives Matter to make my whatever. We already know that was built by two lesbian black women, but there's different charters going on.
Oh,
are
you serious?
Yeah. Black Lives Matter started with two lesbian black women. That's who
started
the group.
Who took the money and bought in the very neighborhoods they were condemning the people They bought in mainly non-melanated neighborhoods, and
who
they just wasted the money. It's
what
it,
are you
it
saying?
Sounds like what?
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking.
Brian.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Brian. Brian, can I set the factual record for this straight before I put
this,
the interpretation on it?
Let me say this. Let me say this. Oh, every time Sarge talks, an angel gets his wings.
Okay. See, I would just like to establish the factual background, then I'll put a slant on it, because you didn't do that. And I think establishing a factual background will put more of it, put it in truer context than the distortion you're
trying
to put.
Well, you can't put this in true context because
I just
want to
set the factual record straight. That's all.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. This all originated because a gentleman who was the co-founder of BLM's Rhode Island chapter endorsed him. The guy's name is Mark Fisher. Okay.
Yes.
Now they initially tried to say he wasn't a co-founder, but there were public records that were well established that indicated he was in fact a co-founder of the Black Lives Matter movement in Rhode Island. Now, Mark Fisher didn't just say I'm BLM, I want to burn down buildings, I want to tear down the system and all that. He specifically said how the Democratic Party had enacted policies that were destructive for black people. He criticized the Democratic Party heavily for its policies, and particularly Joe Biden, all right? Now, he is somewhat distanced himself from Black Lives Matter. Remember, I tell you many times, Brian, I used to be an aspiring Black Panther and a member of the Nation of Islam. I had epiphanies. I changed my mind.
Right.
Found a new course which is more compatible with what I believe and what I think is right. This gentleman had a similar path. He's expressing a similar path. Okay? He cites specifically, Donald Trump's support for historically black colleges and universities, opportunity zones, criminal justice reform, and a whole lot that he thinks is better for black people than anything the Democrats and or Joe Biden are going to do. So I just put that in context as you hear this. Now, I don't agree with everything Donald Trump said in response. I wouldn't have said I'm happy for Black Lives Matter support. I wouldn't have said that.
No.
So I disagree with Trump on that. But this particular guy saying he's happy for his support, I think that's entirely consistent, I don't know, with people like me.
Okay. Well, what I'm trying to say to you is that when you have the heading says Donald Trump embraces Black Lives Matter, which is a false headline. Come to the Washington Post. That's not true. Fisher was a former Democrat. Fisher, he was self-proclaimed, calls himself the co-founder of Black Lives Matter because there is no charter. I could call myself Black Lives Matter, the California edition. You know what I mean? And I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to get a newspaper and say, Brian Hammer Jackson, Black Lives Matter, Chicken and Neckbone Chapter. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to collect money from all y'all.
Well, Brian,
because there's not really an association for Black Lives Matter. It was a protest call, but it was not, and they took it on, and there's so many chapters about it that it's ridiculous. So anyway, that's my thing.
Okay.
This guy's a former Democrat.
Well, okay.
He's now a Republican.
Can we at least say that this gentleman, Mark Fisher, expressed loudly and unequivocally public support for Black Lives Matter? Because everything I've read, it seems to indicate that that's exactly what he did.
Well, it says here.
Politics
the founder,
strange, but
it says here. Wait, let me read it. The founder of Black Lives Matter in Rhode Island, his name is Gary Dantzler. That's the founder of the one in Rhode Island. Now, he told the newspaper he was disgusted by Fisher's remark and that Fisher does not represent Black Lives Matter. That's what he said in a separate interview with the Providence Journal, that Fisher was absolutely not a co-founder of Black Lives Matter in Rhode Island. but that he did work as an advocate for a group for a matter of months. There you go. So there you go. He's not the founder. Blah, 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 blah. Now, if you want to hear it,
I believe there are public filings with regard to Black Lives Matter I'm not sure if it's 501(c) filing, but I believe he was indicated as the senior director for the organization in Black Lives Matter own filings. So look, I'm not exactly sure what the truth of it is, but I think it's pretty clear the guy was a Black Lives Matter supporter, if nothing else, and he was definitely thoroughly associated with the activities of Black Lives Matter, and they're now trying to disassociate themselves from, because true, there is no doubt that his present advocacy is not consistent with the beliefs of Black Lives Matter. So I believe that is true too.
Well, here's the news.
So, it's entirely possible for both situations to be true. He's not speaking for Black Lives Matter anymore. His beliefs are definitely not in line with what Black Lives Matter supports. And at one time, he was a Sikh, just like Malcolm X was the spokesman for the Nation of Islam. And they had a falling out.
Until Black Lives Matter took it down off the website, they are against the nuclear family.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. We're not going to go into that. Just because they're two lesbians, we're not going to go into that. What I'm going to say to you is how...
I bet you like that,
Brian. That's germane to any conversation.
It is not. Just because of their sexual orientation, that they're lesbian, does not mean that they're anti-American families.
Hold on, Brian. I said the destruction of the nuclear family. They advocated that.
No, they did not.
They did, too.
No. Okay, what I'm trying to say here is that when you get the headlines that Donald Trump is trying to make nice with Black Lives Matter group is false. He is not. This guy called himself as a co-founder.
I hope so.
Maybe
guy was a Democrat. He is not. He's a Republican. So what it is this guy, this personal guy, Fisher, loves Donald Trump. And so they took this Black Lives Matter saying, well, Fisher loves me. Donald Trump is making his pledge to Black Lives Matter. It's a dirty political hit. That's all it is. Donald Trump is not reaching out to Black Lives Matter. I could put you right now. Donald Trump says Black Lives Matter is a terrorist group.
I hope he isn't.
Here's another thing. Well, here's the news. I don't think
any politician is supposed to outright reject any support, as long as that politician is not required to follow belief systems that he believes are abhorrent or destructive or harmful to the American populace as a whole. I mean, if I'm a politician, I'll take anybody's vote, but I'll tell you, look, if you expect me to believe that this group of people is this because they're born that way, then forget it. You're not getting my support on that. If you want to vote for me, I am not going to reject your vote. In fact, it's going to be counted for me because nobody's going to know you cast it for me. I hope Donald Trump is not seeking Black Lives Matter vote directly because they are Black Lives Matter. I hope he wants to vote simply because they have a vote that counts just as much as any other voter.
Donald Trump was giving thanks to Hannibal Lecter 2 weeks ago. Hannibal Lecter, he wanted to thank Hannibal Lecter for liking him.
So he wanted
to thank a fictional character for liking him.
No.
See what I mean? Okay, Brian. Whatever.
Wait, I'm going to pull it up.
Brian, I heard him explain taking that out of context.
Hey. I am not.
Yeah.
I am not.
Yeah.
Sarge, I'm going to throw this at you. Sarge, I think what people... generally, they transpose race and class. Now, race is a fiction. Race doesn't exist. And I would offer this to anybody. If people can arguably change their sex, right? Now, sex is based on objective, hard science. So-called race, which is a fiction, is a snap. That's nothing to transfigure. What would you say to that, Sarge?
Well, I don't agree with the latter part of your statement. I agree with the former. That certainly, and you know, the differentiation amongst human beings, biologically and genetically, the most profound difference among human beings is the sexual dimension. I think the behavior of women and men is far more pronouncedly different than the difference between men of different races or women of different races. So I would agree with you that the most profound split in behavior, if you can call it that, is between men and women. But I do believe that racial markers, genetic markers, have a scientific foundation, and I think they are something that be quantified and identified. And here's why I agree with you, Mr. Solicious. I agree with you that racial admixture makes that very problematic. In that respect, then I agree with you.
Okay, two things. I think what people often confuse with race is social class. Now, going back to the behavior, Dr. Jordan Peterson, the famed clinical psychologist out of Canada, points out that men and women are far more alike in terms of their behavior and their existentialism than they are different. It is only at the extremes that you find the greater difference between men and women. But and I've noticed this, men and women basically do the same thing. I don't know why we have to deny that.
Well, you do agree, though, that even at the extremes there's a difference. So we agree that there's a difference. The only we're just maybe disagreeing on where on the spectrum of that difference the differences lie. So having established that, I believe that that measure of difference between men and women is more profound than the racial differences between men and women of the same
It's also more rare.
I'm glad you guys are having a good conversation, but wait a minute. I made a statement that Donald Trump endorsed Hannibal Lecter, and I will play it
for you now.
I will play it for you now.
Yeah, he did. He probably did. Yes, he did.
I will play it for you now.
He made an analogy, and you'll see that, which Brian didn't pick up on.
No, he did not make an analogy. I will play it for you now.
This is in Iowa. Yes, he did.
And here we go. Donald Trump talking
Brian.
In Iowa. Listen. Listen.
Why? Because that's a vicious thing. I said, that's Silence of the Lamb. You know what that is? Has anybody seen Silence of the Lamb? Hannibal Lecter. How great an actor was he? You know why I like him? Because he said on...
First of all, Hannibal Lecter is not an actor.
Yes, Jim.
He's not an
Anthony Hopkins is an actor, though.
You're right, Sarge. He played Hannibal Lecter. Hannibal Lecter is a fictional character, by the way. It was based on a true story, but he was a fictional character.
We all saw the movie, Brian.
Well, there's people in the world who hasn't. I have a show to do. There's other people.
We saw the movie, and we know what Trump is saying.
Listen,
go ahead and play the tape.
I will.
Television on one of the. I love Donald Trump, so I love him. I love him. I love him. Television on one of the.
Listen to this.
I love was he. You know why I like him? Because he said on television on one of the. I love Donald Trump, so I love him. I love him.
Hannibal Lecter said on television, I love Donald Trump, which is a fictional character, and he loves him.
I love him. He said that a long time ago, and once he said that, he was in my camp. I was in his camp. I don't care if he was the worst actor. I'd say he was great to me.
Now, let's break this down. First of all, we all know he's a fictional character. Hannibal Lecter is not an actor. Hannibal Lecter could not have said, I love Donald Trump. But let's just say Hannibal Lecter did love Donald Trump. He was a real person. He was a serial killer that ate people.
was a serial killer that ate people.
Okay, so he got the guy's name mixed up. God's sake. Okay. How many times has Joe Biden got people's names mixed up, including people whose funerals he goes to?
And he shook hands with the Phantom.
He's losing it.
And he shook hands with the Phantoms.
Right, he shook hands with the nun person.
So we gotta go.
If
you let me finish this, I promise you guys can have the rest of the minutes. I gotta do it. So anyway, I have Orange Jesus, and here it is. Republican Mark Green called Trump the Orange Jesus. Now, Pastor Don Jr., CEO. This guy calls Donald Trump the Orange Jesus. Is that blasphemy?
Blasphemy? No, I wouldn't call it blasphemy. I call it a careless illusion.
A careless illusion.
Yeah, I mean, you call anything you want to, Brian, but I'm not going to call it that.
All right, let me read it.
Be my guest. You have my guest.
He said on January 6th, Mark Green said of the Republican support of then President Donald Trump, the things we do for the Orange Jesus. The Orange Jesus. He says in late November, when the Capitol was being stormed.
Wouldn't you say that speaker is trying to mock Donald Trump?
No, he's
not
a Republican.
Say that,
he loves Donald
not
Trump.
Not say that,
Mark,
that,
no,
that
guy,
Donald Trump
this
is
guy loves Donald
as
Trump.
Positive as Jesus is. He's trying to mock him by saying people look at him as though he's an orange
Jesus. So Cheney.
Whoever's making that statement is not saying anything good about Trump.
So Liz Cheney said, "What are you doing?" And she claims he made the remark to her too, Orange Jesus. And it was revealed by CNN, which was said to have received an early copy of Cheney's upcoming book. And that takes us into Cheney's book. According to Liz Cheney, it was Representative Mark Green who said, the things we do for Orange Jesus as he signed his name to the electoral vote objection sheet. Now, that brings us to, Liz has a new book out, everybody, and it's called, and she gives it all about, what's it called? It looks like a good book, too. Oath and Honor. That's the book. And she tells things about how people are kissing Donald Trump's ring. Let me see.
Okay.
Oath and Honor. Okay. So there you go. I want to get that book, too. I have it.
Hey, is the presidency limited to two consecutive terms or two terms total?
Two terms total.
Okay.
So you can serve one term, have it separated by, you know, years, and then come back and get reelected again. As long as you're not elected to more than two terms. Now, some people are saying that if you were served, you became Speaker of the House subsequent to becoming president, and for some reason in the line of succession, you would become president. Kind of like Gerald Ford did. Well, you wouldn't be elected to the office, so you could serve a third term.
I see.
But it has to be elected twice to office.
Now,
that's what the 22nd Amendment says.
Oath and Honor is on sale now. This is Liz Cheney's book. It's a memoir and a warning. It's a gripping firsthand account on January 6th, the insurrection from inside the halls of the Congress, from origins to the aftermath, as Donald Trump and his enablers betrayed the American people and the Constitution by the House Republican leader who dared to stand up to it. And that's a good book. Donald Trump and many around him, including certain other elected Republican officials, intentionally breached their oath to the Constitution. They ignored the rulings of dozens of courts, plotted to overturn a lawful election, and provoked a violent attack on our Capitol. Liz Cheney, our hero, one of the few Republican officials to take a stand against these efforts, witnesses that attacked firsthand and then helped lead the Congressional Select Committee investigation into how it happened. In oath and honor, she tells the story of this moment in our history. Those who helped the evil, menacing Donald Trump spread the stolen election lies, and those who acted to preserve our Constitution and our hero, Liz Cheney. Thank you. Get the book, Liz Cheney, Oath and Honor.
Yeah,
it's on sale
now. Okay.
There you go.
Old sister Liz, she ignores a lot of stuff that's coming to light about that election, and there ain't nothing she going to be able to do to stop it from coming out. Just in Georgia, three major things happened to indicate that Donald Trump had a strong case. Even if he's wrong, he's got all kinds of evidence to show evidence that he relied upon to believe that the election was fraudulent, which would mean if he believed it, he could not have been committing fraud on the people of Georgia.
That's a solid question. I know there was corruption, but do you believe that corruption was substantial enough to change the election outcome?
I absolutely believe it. Yes. Beyond any doubt. Yes. Yes.
Very good. And Sarge, you said something that I've been saying before, and I say this to everybody. If you believe it, it's not a lie.
It's not fraud either. Remember, he's being charged with RICO conspiracy to commit fraud against the people of Georgia. That's what Fannie Willis is charging with in Fulton County.
But I ask
you, because a lie means that a person is...
I want to say this on the air, because I want to ask Sarge, as a former police officer, a law-abiding citizen and a police officer who swore to uphold the law, if I believed that somebody was coming into my house and trying to kill me, and I shot him first, just because I believed it, would I get off in court?
No, because there's a bunch of criteria for the use of deadly force against another, and your actions, whether you believe them or not, will have to meet that criteria.
So you're saying whether Donald Trump believed it or not, his actions will be held accountable?
No.
No, what's going to be held accountable? Remember what he's being charged with. He doesn't have to prove all kinds of things he's not being charged with. He's got, the prosecution has to show that what he, his actions in contacting Brad Raffensperger were the results to institute in a RICO manner, meaning an organized criminal conspiracy, an attempt to defraud the citizens of Georgia about something that he himself did not believe.
That's
what he's being charged with.
I'm saying that Donald Trump has been proven that he put people in place. He put people in place to, let's say, give confusion about the election. He's claiming that it's fraud. He believes that it's fraud. He believed that it was taken away from him. He actually believed that. But the fact of the matter is, people after people, they proved, even as governor of Georgia and other governors proved, and they did prove, Donald Trump's wrong. That election.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't.
Yes,
in
they
fact,
did.
They,
yes, they
the
did.
State, the Georgia State, no, the state, Georgia State Board of Election just came out with an analysis in Penal County, Georgia. Here's what they said. They found malfeasance, incompetence, and possible criminal activity in their review of the election in Penal County. They said the election should not have been certified there.
Well, I have to
say, I'm saying that we are getting now information from Georgia authorities that are backing up what Donald Trump believed.
I would have to look at the source before I even make a comment. But until then, we got 3 minutes. Sarge, I'm going to give Sarge 2 minutes because I know Sean's listening. I know you wanted to say goodbye to Sean, and have him happy holiday. So I want to give you that time because I know he's listening to you right now.
Okay. And what, just to sum up?
Well, no, I mean, I'll give you the sum up, but before we go out of time, I just want to give you the time to say happy holidays to Sean because he's listening to you. Sean,
oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Brother Sean, my young brother Sean, I hope you're doing well. I hope that you are you and your family had a happy holiday and Thanksgiving. And, Sean, don't despair. Don't despair. Don't be down in the dumps or down at mouth. We will win. All you got to do is keep your mother on the straight and narrow. You got a good mother. I think she's amenable to the truth. You listen to me. You go back to your mom and you tell your mother, Mom, Sarge is right. Never doubt what Sarge says. And you and her will be the better for it. And I'm wishing nothing but the best for you, Sean. Happy holidays. Happy post-Thanksgiving. And happy pre-Christmas and New Year's.
Ah, well done. I want to thank, I'm going to give you a time to sum up. Remember, even when we go podcast, people will hear the show fully. I want to give Patricia, Pat, Oberlin.
Yeah.
I know we didn't hear from you all day, but I want to give you, thank you for coming in. Your spirit was there. Thank you, Pat, for coming in.
Yes, it was.
I want to thank Mr. Solution for coming in. And, of course, I want to thank Sarge for coming in. You guys made the conversation go forward. It's all yours, you guys. You can sum things up. Here's how we have to do. And I think Sarge will tell you this, and I think Mr. Solution will tell you this, and I think Pat will tell you this. Whatever you believe, your vote counts. And this year we need it more than ever. Whatever, whoever you're going to vote for, it counts. So if you don't vote, nobody needs to hear from you. You know what I always hated? There's people who don't vote and they always have an opinion. You have no opinion if you don't vote. That's all I have to say. Sarge and Mr. Solution, I give you the floor. Thank you, everybody.
Well, that's not really true, Brian. They can still have an opinion. I would just say it's not as workably balanced. But Sarge and I appear on a lot of combat radio shows. A lot worse than yours, Brian. Although yours is pretty, yours is pretty.
My show is pretty what?
And we go on those shows, and now I made peace, which is kind of interesting, and I should have made peace, but I didn't know I was going to make peace, and I just really propel the issue of fairness because I was treated very, very unjudiciously on the show. And I had an outburst, which was, you know, not totally my fault, but a little bit. Sarge, what I would say is that many of those people on those shows, they confuse what they think is racism with class. Because if one really wanted to solve the problem and you say, well, what do you want? And I guarantee you all the things that they want would apply to class, which I think some of them don't understand. They think that everything in life just should be fair at the get-go. And when I quoted to them the Declaration of Independence that talks about the pursuit of happiness, not the guarantee of happiness, but its pursuit, which I think is very beautifully penned. And so I think that now there may never be a resolution to their complaint, and there probably won't because it's emotion. It's not a real complaint that can be dealt with. I mean, do you follow what I'm saying so far?
No, not at all.
Well,
thank
I
you
know
for
you
that.
Don't, Brian. You can't
but
follow
thank you
a
for
roadmap.
That.
Yeah, you don't follow a roadmap well. But
I wish
asking,
all of you a very happy holiday.
Was asking Sarge.
But I'll let Sarge answer. Then we got to go because I have to go shopping for my little elf baby.
Brian, yeah. Stay your ass out of those shopping malls. And well, you probably won't go to a mall. But put your credit card away. It's going to come
I am
back
going to a mall. In fact,
it's going, okay, don't do it. It's going to come back and bite you squarely in the tuchus.
I know. What can you do?
And let me say this. This is very apropos. MasterCard and Visa raised their rates. They raised their rates on the merchants. They raised their fees. They raised their interest. So you're going to be in a whirl of hurry. If you continue to rely on that.
Joyful, to see the joy on their little faces and the hugs that I get and probably the atomic holiday blowjob that I may receive.
Hey,
no,
but Sarge, I don't know. Sarge, are you still here? Hold on, Brian. Sarge, are you still here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got something I want to tell Brian when, you know, he just, I'm still here. And I got something I want to let Brian in on because he apparently is unaware of.
Okay, go ahead. That's okay. Fine.
No, what's your question?
Well, what I was going to say is that these on some of these shows, and I won't name them, sometimes this one, but not so much this one, but those other shows that you and I happen to appear on, is that they confuse race with class.
Frequently, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I agree with
that. Yeah, because they want things which they generally, like, for example, Brian, I hope you will follow this. And Sarge said it. Sarge made a very clarion statement, and that was the way to not have interaction with the police for the average person, most of their interaction is going to be through traffic stop. So keep your registration current. Policemen look for that. Keep your your vehicle registration current. And Sarge, I think you gave a number like 50% of the stops are initiated because of expired vehicle registration.
I wouldn't have
you
to worry about
that.
The indicators you get, yeah. So it's what
I'll
regularly would make vehicle stops for, more probably than anything else. Either inappropriate, apparently, especially temporary registration, where you can clearly see it's forged. I made all kinds of stops for that and made all kinds of arrests.
One other thing, Sarge, if you saw that, and correct me here, I may need, like the police commission, you know, they send those things, they get mailers, and they send that out for donations, the police commission, whatever. If you affix that, if one should affix that onto their vehicle, do the police, are they a little bit more lenient on people who donate to their causes?
No.
I would tend to say that's not unfair to say that that probably happens more often than not.
Yeah.
But it's not exclusively limiting or enabling. But
right.
Yeah,
I would say it
kind of factors in.
Yeah, absolutely.
But everything else has got to be in order, though. For the most part, everything else has got to be in order.
If it's a
discretionary thing, it's not mandatory you give a ticket for every traffic stop you make. And if it's discretionary, more likely than not, that might get you off the hook.
Exactly. So that's what I tell lovely yahoos, is number one, obey the traffic laws. Number two, keep your registration current. And that'll limit your interaction with the police.
It really will.
And number
it
three,
really will.
When you do, and one more, number three, when you do steal a car, make sure it's a low-key car and that you can just run quick.
Steering column that looks like an actual key. And not something you started with a screwdriver.
That's true.
Kind of a giveaway for me. It was every time I saw it.
But wait a minute. Sarge said something that he had something to say to me that I didn't know. I'm curious.
Yeah, I would like you to know this. 20 election in Georgia, the state of Georgia, Secretary of State's office, Brad Raffensperger's office, carried out what they call a risk-limiting audit. And the results of this audit confirmed the 2020 election results. But there was a citizen in Georgia who works for a citizens voter advocacy group. His name is Joseph Rossi. And he found 36 errors in the Fulton County database in the report, the risk-limiting audit report that was posted on the Secretary of State's website. Now, he brought this to the attention of some people in Governor Kemp's office. As a result of this, they went to the governor. The governor requested that the state election boards do an investigation into the Fulton County data from the risk-limiting audit report. And they gave our report. I'll give you the number if you want to look it up yourself. SEB, the State Elections Board, report number 2021-181. The State Elections Board, not just the citizen advocate, they identified the violations and errors in the recounts of the 2020 election, and they indicated they might have been substantive in changing the outcome of the Georgia election.
Whoa.
Remember, this is Fulton County where Donald Trump is being charged with committing fraud in that he didn't believe the election was actually stolen.
So thank you for that, Tarek.
Just thought you ought to know. And you can look at that report yourself. I gave the report number.
No, I believe you.
You go to State Elections Board, and I have that report there. You can look it up yourself. And here's what it said. It said that there might have been the percentage of votes, I forget what it was now, but the percentage of votes might have been sufficient to change the outcome of the election in the entire state, just in Fulton County.
I will look that up. I will look that up, but I believe it.
I think they said something like, well, no, it didn't, no, it wasn't, it wouldn't have changed the outcome by themselves, but it went a long way toward doing it because there were probably at least minimum over 4,000 false absentee by mail votes counted for Joe Biden.
Okay. Okay.
Now, if you consider what happened in the other counties like Cherokee County and some of the others, it was clearly potentially outcome determinative.
Okay. I believe
you. Just thought you ought to know.
Brian he's hot to trot to get out there and put
Mr. Solution, I want to ask you something before I leave because I do got to go. You mentioned that you're on another show. You blew up. You made friends. Am I thinking that you and Joe are at peace, friendly now? Is it Joe?
Joe is crazy. Are you and Joe at peace now?
No, Joe left the show 5 years ago, I guess.
No. I was talking about someone else who actually runs the show. I wasn't talking about Joe.
Okay.
But Joe just took a nosedive. I don't know what happened to that guy.
Seriously? Are you seriously? What's going on? No, seriously.
Uh-huh.
I haven't talked to the dude in 4 years. So you said he took a nosedive.
I just mean mentally something happened, something snapped, something happened with him. I don't know. But we've seen that with other guys. There was a guy that Sarge knows Joe, and Sarge knows Greg.
Sarge knows Joe. I didn't know that.
Well, Greg is another guy that kind of went walkers.
Yeah, I don't know
and
Greg.
And he just fights every time he comes on a show. I mean, even when there's no cause to...
Why do you say Joe is not mentally... you're saying he's not mentally there anymore?
I don't know what's wrong with him. Maybe your guess is mine. I just know...
Not my guess. I don't know.
What?
Sometimes you guys go to different shows, and I hear names that used to come on this show, and I'm just curious about updates and what they're doing now. But
I haven't spoken to Joe. Joe is I don't look. Your guess is as good as mine. What goes on with him? I don't know. I don't really care either.
I feel the same way. I want to wish you guys a very happy holiday. If you wanted to know, today is Thursday. I will be on tomorrow.
Before you go.
Yeah.
I know you're hot to trot to go out there and just dive into those fees and interest rates, and I'm going to be one that tells you right now, Sarge is a witness, a faithful witness, don't do it. Now that's my response.
If it makes
you,
my baby, if it makes my baby happy, I'll do anything. I give her anything.
Huh?
If it makes my girl happy, I just signed over. In fact, she said for Christmas that I should make out a will and put her name in it, and I did it twice, just in case I come back. I come back alive.
No, I'm talking about that credit card, buddy. Put that credit card in a safe.
You do deserve.
Wait, Brian, put that credit card in a safe place.
I know, buddy. I can't, Mr. Solution. I listen to you.
Hold on.
Right?
I bet you have the number remembered. I bet you have your credit card number.
I sure do.
I knew it.
You know what? If it makes them happy, I see the smiley faces. I'm gonna do it.
Okay, all right. I tried to warn you. See, that'll wear off of them. They're growing. They're growing very rapidly.
And for Christmas, I'm going to get Patricia some dragon blood. She loves it, right, Pat? Dragon blood is good.
In that case,
but you've offered it to me before, and I've never seen it.
I know. I'm sorry. I thought you forgot. Damn it. I thought you forgot. Sorry, Pat.
But wait a minute. Since I can't convince you otherwise, I'll take something, too.
I'll give you get your Patricia's dragon blood. I'm gonna
dragon blood? What the hell is that?
Yeah. Pat,
it
tell me dragon blood.
What is dragon blood? I don't know that.
It's dragon's blood is actually a resin from a tree in Africa.
Yeah.
A dragon blood tree. Okay, so anyhow, it is used to dislodge spirits and things. You use it as an incense and an oil to get rid of ghosts.
But I don't think who needs that? I mean, you said you were...
Well, I do, because that's my job.
Oh, yeah. But you told me once you were, what is it called? You underwent an exorcist?
She also cleans houses and gets rid of evil spirits in people's houses.
It performs an exorcist on evil spirits. It runs them away?
Yep.
Wow. How does it smell?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's a beautiful smell.
And I'm going to sprinkle it on
like
you,
perfume.
Mr. Sisters. Yeah, and actually,
well, Brian, you need
to
sprinkle it on yourself first. And it's blood. It has the color of blood. It's blood colored.
It's pink.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
It's pink.
Oh, it's pink. Okay. Well, that's Brian's color anyway.
That's right. I eat pink. I live for pink. I'm an animal for pink. Show me pink, and I'm under the dress in a minute. All right, kids.
All right, Brian. Well, take care.
I want to wish
SARS
and
guard
a
that
very good
card.
Holiday. I want to wish you, Mr. Solution,
a
very good holiday. And you too, Pat.
Everybody have a good day.
You too.
I'm having
you too, Pat.
Oh, go ahead, sir.
So this is Christmas.
Signing out.